All right, thank you everyone. I'll start the meeting now. So I'll open it and I'll say welcome and our opening statement. Our opening statement is acknowledgement of country that says council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional country of the Paramount and Kaurna people. We pay our respects to ancestors now as past and present as the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land. Together we will care for this place for the generations to come, and in this context, decisions we make should be guided by the principle that nothing we do should decrease the our children's ability to live on this land. Now, that goes on to now item three on our agenda. We don't have any apologies tonight. We do have two leave of absence, which is Councillor Parkin and Councillor Sassadani. Is anybody else wanting a leave of absence? Now, these two have to be voting on tomorrow's night, so they've already been voted for. They've already been voted for. All right, thank you. Is anybody else looking for the meeting that you need to read out? We have no leave of absence. I mean, so we now go on to item four on the agenda, which is the minutes of the previous meeting. For those of you in the gallery, we can't actually move forward with the meeting until we agree the previous minutes of the previous meeting. So, can I have a moment of please for the previous minutes? Thank you, Councillor Daniel, and the seconder. Thank you, Councillor Brown. All of those in favour of accepting the minutes? All right, thank you. That was carried unanimously. Item five on our agenda is when we ask for declarations of conflict of interest by members of council. Can I please ask, is anyone, thank you, I've got Councillor and Councillor, so I have Councillor Mudd, do you want to just give us the number?
It relates to item 12.2, review of decision discretionary rate for skill and possible.
Okay. More confused, well, so 12.2, the Councillor Mudd, Councillor
Mudd. Item 12.4, the report on the really ran and changed the Memorial Park and those effects for CFS and I remember
CFS. Councillor Selwood?
Yes, item 12.2, you have a general conflict of interest.
So, when we come for those items, we'll ask you to make the declaration. Sorry, everyone. Can you hear better now?
Yes.
I understand some of you couldn't hear. Sorry. We now come to item six on our opening agenda, and I would like to make some opening remarks. The first thing that I would like to know is the death of John Thomas. Now, Edward John Thomas, known as John Thomas, was a life member and ex-president of the RSN and Stirling, and he passed away recently. So I'd like to offer my personal condolences to his family on this occasion. He gave a tremendous amount of time and effort and dedication to that organisation. So, Father John, and say condolences to his family. Now, just so that everyone knows, special welcome tonight to members of the public in the gallery. We've come to see people to deliberate on items that are of importance to you. But just to let you also know that to advise you that we do record these meetings and they do then get published on the website. We only do an audio recording, we don't do a visual recording. So I'm telling you that just so that you know anyone who comes up and decides they want to be in the public forum that it will go on the audio. Now I also wanted to remind just members of the public who are here in our gallery tonight, it's a beautiful gallery, that you're here to observe proceedings in the meeting. You're not able to participate directly in the meeting unless you make a deputation or you want to speak in the public forum. But if we keep it, keep our noise down to a minimum, that would be terrific. But I know many of you personally, and we've often disagreed on things, but we've always been respectful with each other. And I really appreciate that. So I'm asking everyone, both in the gallery and in the chamber, to remember to be respectful of different opinions that we might hear this evening. Thank you. Now, we'll move on to 7.1, we don't have any questions adjourned. 7.2, and we don't have any questions lying on the table. We move on to item 8 on the agenda, which is the petitions and deputations from the public forum. So I'll come to the petitions first. If you just excuse me, I'll find it. The first petition was with regard to access to Woodside Township from Inver Bracky. This has been led by David Ashton. So we're looking to receive a notice of the petition that's been signed by the signatories requesting safe thoroughfare along the near Woodside Road. And we're asking the CEO to let David Ashton know that the petition has been noted, and if there are any resolutions later on, we'll be informed of that. Now, I can actually tell you that there will be a motion on notice with regard to this item a bit later on, but we do have to have the public forum and other things first. So I'm looking for someone to move, please, that we resolve to receive this. Thank you. I've got Councillor Selwood moving. Councillor Boyd, you were going to second?
No, that's fine.
No, well, I need a second.
Okay, sure.
Okay. All right, so Councillor Boyd, second. Thank you. Would you like to speak to the petition?
Only very briefly. Thank you, Mayor. As you know, I do have an motion on the notice related to this item later in the agenda. I'm really supportive of the petition that's being sent to us.
All right, thank you. So we've got to move on in a second. Councillor Boyd, do you want to speak?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thank you. Anybody want to speak about this petition? I don't think I need to come back here, so I'm going to ask everyone, all those in favour of accepting this petition. Thank you very much, Carrie and Adam. Our second petition tonight comes from Ms. Leonie Taylor. This is for support during the State Australia Day celebrations. This is the petition signed by 599 signatories requesting the Council reinstate celebrations of Australia Day on January 26th, and with regard to holding citizenship and award ceremonies on that day, and that the CEO be advised to advise Ms. Leonie of any resolutions that come out in relation to this matter. And I do also know, with regard to your petition and with others, I'm sure there are always times where items have been taken out of the place where they were originally, and there may well have been more signatures, but we can only accept what we see in front of us. So thank you for that. So I need someone to move that we receive this. Thank you, Councillor Herman. Thank you, Councillor Gill. Your seconding. You wanted to speak, Councillor Herman?
No, not at this stage. I'll reserve my comments for the agenda.
All right, thank you. Councillor Gill, did you want to say anything at this stage?
That's really fair. Nothing on this stage.
All right, thank you. So we have a mover and a second, so I'm going to go straight to a vote. Please, all those in favour of accepting this petition. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. Now we have a third petition, which is with regards to supporting council moving citizenship ceremonies and civic awards away from Australia Day from reconciliation to their arrangement. This is a petition signed by 376 people stating that they support council's previous decisions about conducting citizenship ceremonies away from the 26th and endorsing our previous moves and urging us to not reconsider our previous resolutions. And finally, that the CEO will advise the visual signatory that, whoever the principal signatory is, of any resolutions made regarding this matter. So do I have a mover, please, for this petition? Thank you again, Councillor Boyd, and I have a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Nunch. So, Councillor Boyd, do you wish to say anything at this point? Councillor Nunch, do you wish to say anything at this point? Thank you. So you would like to say something
here? Just noting the petition, there are two issues that we discussed, that citizenship ceremonies and civic awards in Australia Day. I see this petition that I read it only refers to citizenship ceremonies on the 26th of January, not the civic awards. Is that correct?
Point three says and civic ceremony.
Just so I said it, yeah, not quite true.
running back to.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
It's all right, okay. So, that's the end of what you want to say? Okay, thank you. All right, so I'll now move to a vote on it, on receiving this item, please. Thank you, all of those in favour, thank you, that's carried unanimously, thank you. All right, so now we've got deputations. Now, we have a deputation, we have, normally we only have two, but I have discretion to add another on, so I've added a third one. In fact, we had four, but we've, and I have somebody speak in the public forum as well. So we'll start with the first deputation, please. This is with regard to the support of council's decision not to hold citizenship ceremonies and civic awards on the 26th of January, and this is from Reconciliation Australia. So if your member would like to come forward to the front end, come in front.
Right.
I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. Reconciliation Eurasia, my mistake. Thank you. I'm sorry, if you'd like to give your names.
I'm Caroline Michalski.
Sorry, Caroline.
Caroline Michalski. Do you want me to spell it?
M-I-C-H-A-L-S-K-I. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lydia Trouse. L-Y-D-I-A, and Trouse is T-R-O-W-S-E.
Thank you very much. Now you have 10 minutes plus some questions from, if you're happy to accept the questions from people in the gallery. So, I'm just noting in front of you, you both got a microphone. I don't know who wants to speak first, but okay. So, Carolyn, if you'd like to press the button on the middle there, you'll see a red light's on now. So, you'll have it, and then I'll ask you to swap over when you're done. All right, so you have 10 minutes, and we'll give you, I think you have 5 minutes each, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll give you just a bit of a call when we get near 5. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name's Caroline. I'm a mother and a grandmother, and I've lived in the Adelaide Hills with my family for the past 36 years. I wasn't born in Australia, but I am incredibly proud and very grateful to be an Australian. My mother and her huge extended family were all born in Australia, and we're very ordinary, everyday Australians. None of us are super wealthy or from any social elite. We're teachers, nurses, truck drivers and farmers, and I've worked and volunteered for 45 years in public education, agriculture, land care and healthcare. It's my mother's family who've taught me about what's important about being Australian. It's about being part of our communities and neighbourhoods, about coming together, taking care of one another, doing what we can and helping each other out. And when we come together and combine our skills and work together, we all benefit. Sadly, we know it doesn't take much to damage the trust and goodwill of others, and then we all lose out. It's easy to maintain goodwill. It's hard to repair it if you lose it. We've been told by First Nations people in our community that the 26th of January is a significant date, and we've been respectfully asked to shift the council's citizenship and award ceremonies away to another date. I think we need to listen sympathetically to that request. The council has consulted widely, and I commend you for carefully considering what has become a contested and contentious issue. Consulting with residents is a fundamental part of every councillor's role, and there are significant extra costs and consequences that have led to your decision not to commission extra public consultation. As a long-term local ratepayer, I think we've had plenty of opportunity to have a say, and I don't want limited council budgets to be sidetracked into an exercise with no extra benefit and potential negative side effects. I'll give you an example of the potential negative side effects that really concern me. I'm an allied health clinician with Public Health. I've worked across country and metropolitan hospitals, and I work in an extraordinarily skilled and dedicated team. We're a mixture of different ages, men and women, gay and straight, and we have First Nations people, older migrants, new migrants, and people of all colours, cultures, and religions working together. We don't always agree, but we sort things out and we work together, combine our skills, and together we're very, very good at what we do. It's the diversity in our team that gives us strength and the combined skills to provide really outstanding health services. But some of my colleagues have had to deal with horribly discriminating and demeaning comments that are made to them because they are migrants, people of colour, or First Nations people. And that affects everyone in the team. It's devastating and demoralising when a skilled and respected colleague has been abused, demeaned, and humiliated. And it makes it that much harder for all of us to trust people and to do the work we have to do. How are we supposed to do the work and provide the services that are needed when this is going on? Everybody loses out. This is happening face-to-face in hospitals and clinics and over the phone. In the anonymity of social media, this vicious and mean commentary is even worse. And what's more, there's been a harder edge to some of these comments since last year's referendum. It's also the case, sorry,
you've got a minute.
Okay. It's also the case if you make the mistake of reading some of the social media around the council's, this and other councils' decisions about the 26th of January. Nobody has said that we shouldn't celebrate the past 236 years of our collective history. As a nation and in our communities, we've got a lot to celebrate. But unless we want to tell ourselves fairy tales, it's important as a mature nation that we face some of the tough lessons that our history has taught us. I don't want to lose the opportunity, and I don't want my children and grandchildren to lose out on the opportunity to engage with local First Nations people to understand all of our history. I want to know who the people were that were looking after the Adelaide Hills 10,000 and 50,000 years ago, and we are unique in the world to be able to access that knowledge if we are prepared to protect the goodwill of First Nations people, to listen to what they're willing to teach us, and to work together as a community. I'd like to ask the council to stand firm on the decision you made to move the council awards and other ceremonies to a date alternative to the 26th of January. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Carolyn. We'll hand over now to the here if you'd like to turn yours off. Carolyn, I know you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're running time, Megan.
Thank you. My name is Lydia. I was born and raised in the Adelaide Hills, where I now raise my family. I have English, Scottish, French, and German heritage. I have a professional background of over 20 years as a clinical mental health professional and work at Emerging Minds, a national organisation dedicated to supporting the mental health of children and families. It is this evidence base and my connections with Aboriginal community members I'm drawing on tonight. Why does this date change matter? Moving ceremonies and awards from January 26 could significantly improve mental health outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and families. Selecting a date that is not tied to the trauma of colonisation shows respect and demonstrates a commitment to healing. It helps families feel valued and teaches all our children that we respect everyone in our community. This sense of belonging can reduce feelings of isolation and enhance mental health for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander citizens. Support and respect for culture are essential for the well-being of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and families. Acknowledging our shared history strengthens identity and leads to better social and emotional well-being, which can help prevent future mental health issues. There are compelling moral, ethical, and economic reasons for choosing a different date. Improved mental health contributes to the social and economic viability of our whole community, benefiting us all. Importantly, there's no evidence suggesting that changing the date would harm any community members. So why am I arguing against further community consultation? It's important to highlight the consequences of doing this. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and families often face unnecessary exposure to discriminatory attitudes and discussions about their families and communities. This causes harm and contributes to poorer mental health outcomes. These conversations, heightened recently by the referendum, were intended to promote healing, but instead have given voice to racism that is increasing harm. It is not okay that this is happening in our community, and it is not okay for council to make decisions that allow this harm to intensify. So what do we want our community to represent? I propose that it is our collective responsibility to work towards supporting all members of our community to feel included and connected to our citizenship ceremonies and civic awards, and that we all have an obligation to support healing. This means acknowledging the historical significance of a date that symbolises decades of trauma, loss and grief that continue to impact families and communities today. Just as Remembrance Day is vital for healing grief, pain and loss, it is crucial that celebrations and ceremonies do not occur on a day that deserves similar respect. Council's original decision was the right one. This decision does not need consultation and should not be amended. Changing our stance and giving voice to racism not only stifles healing opportunities, but also sends a message that the grief and loss within our community are not deserving of the dignity they warrant. We have evidence that moving ceremonies and awards can benefit our community's health, social and economic well-being. The decision aligns with the Council's commitment to inclusivity and respect for all cultures. Importantly, I ask you to reflect again that there's no indication this change would harm any segment of the community. It makes sense to proceed with the original decision now. This enables Council to act swiftly in the community's best interest and focus on effective education and communication regarding the date change. I urge you to ask yourselves, what do we want our citizenship ceremonies and civic awards to represent about our country to our newest citizens and our community? Do we want to show this respect for pain, loss and grief, or do we want to convey respect for human dignity and healing? Do we wish to cling to a false view of our history, or do we strive for a mature pride that acknowledges both our strengths and our truths? It's important for me to acknowledge the Aboriginal people, including Uncle Eric Richards, Narangeri and Paramount Elder, who helped me prepare this deputation. And it's essential for Council to prioritise the voices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community members in this discussion. To close, I'll share thoughts from two Aboriginal children from the hills, aged 8 and 6, on what changing the date would mean to them. They said, "That day is a day of hurt and it would be best to change it so we can celebrate. And when I'm listened to, I feel included and happy." Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, both Caroline and Olivia. I want to take questions.
Yep.
Anyone has one? Is there anyone like I've got here? I've got Councillor Herman. Anybody else wanting to ask?
Yeah, just a quick question. As I mentioned earlier, there's two issues, the citizenship and the civic award. I understand quite clearly the condition on citizenship. However, the civic awards in this council have only been around since about 1996 or so. It seems to me that there could be a possibility of exploring of just having the civic award on that day. They're very modern. Crenshaw, most councils have the civic awards. So I just wonder if there's any room to move on from your point of view to have continued the civic awards, which are very modern, as opposed to the citizenship awards, which relate to Australia Day.
I think the civic awards are still a celebration and wouldn't be fitting, wouldn't be appropriate for a day that deserves respect for the trauma, grief and loss that it represents. So personally, that's not something I would support.
You would not?
No.
Anybody else got a question? All right, thank you both very much for being prepared to answer today. Thank you. I'm now going to move straight on, please, to our second deputation. This is the reinstatement of citizenship ceremonies and civic awards on the 26th of January. And we're being represented here by Ms. Yanni Taylor. And Ms. Brady, are you coming up as well, or is it just one? So, Yanni and Ian, if you would like to come up. So, it's Yanni Taylor and Ian Bader, B-A-I-L-E-Y. So do you want to do the same? Do you want 5 minutes each? How do you want to play this? Yeah, okay.
Yes, I'll be starting, then Ian will be doing his piece. I think we've got it within the time limit, but please, if we go over a bit, we can.
Okay, so I'm going to, Leon, if you'd like to start, and you have the floor, I have lots of questions after.
Thank you. I'm Leonie Taylor. What I'd like to do tonight is to explain to you why our action group has put in a petition and what we believe in. This deputation will cover the petition submitted by the Adelaide Hills Residents Action Group, the significance of Australia Day on the 26th of January. Now, Ian will then follow on with the history of the settlement of Australia, supplied by Dr. Anne Herriman of the Mount Lofty Historical Society. Ian Bailey and I addressed the council in the public forum on the 15th of October and raised two issues: the theft and obvious disrespect of the right to a diversity of opinion and the perceived lack of consultation by council to council events on the 26th of January. I'll now deal with the significance of Australia Day. The significance of Australia Day has different things to different people, and we identified this during our consultation of the residents. During door knocking, we came across many nationalities and recent Australian citizens. I'd like to share with you one experience which was extremely uplifting and made us feel very proud to be Australian. One resident was a refugee from Afghanistan and of the Islamic faith. It was stated how proud they were to have Australian citizenship, and they celebrate Australia Day on the 26th of January each year, as that is the day when their whole family became Australian and they will continue to celebrate on this day. By not recognising the significance of Australia Day on the 26th of January, it can be perceived as an insult to these minority nationalities who hold pride in this day. This presents a different perspective of what the 26th of January means to a great deal of people over the years who have become Australian on this day and very proud of it. Now, I'd like to move to the petition that we've presented to council. There's been two petitions, so the combined one is over 1,600. We were not all able to collect all the pages in time. Four pages were taken by persons unknown on premises. And we also have signatures of residents who signed the petition, but unfortunately did not comply with the council's policy on petitions, and therefore were not allowed to be included. But their intent was very clear. The action group decided not to consult online, but rather to have personal contact and listen to what the residents had to say. They were very forthcoming on a number of issues concerning council, which the action group will be addressing. What we have been able to do in this consultation program is to set up a very large network across the council area, which will be invaluable for future consultation on council matters. Now, there will be Australia Day events on the 26th of January, run by the community. Woodside is well underway for the second time and promised to be bigger than ever. Gumaraka is in the planning stage. Euradler is also in the planning stage. And Stirling, a group has contacted me today, has expressed interest in holding an Australia Day celebration on the community land that is the library lawns, and are awaiting response back from the council. Mylaw has also been invited to join. Now, I'd like to move the right to an opinion. The action group, respects the right for others to have a different opinion, but appears those of the opposing opinion do not respect our right to have a different opinion. Other nationalities have made Australia home, and no one minority group should dictate how Australians choose to celebrate being Australian. In conclusion, the action group asks the council to recognise the significance of Australia Day to the majority of the residents of the Adelaide Hills Council area, which is indicated by the petitions we've put in, and reinstate the celebration of Australia Day on the 26th of January and return the civic awards, citizenship and funding to the individual communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Well done with your time, mate.
Thank you.
Ian Bailey, if you'd like to continue, and you've got your mic on. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. A bit of a history lesson first. And as you know, it was given to us by the Historical Society. The first documented landing by any Europeans was in 1605, 1606, and that was by the Dutch explorer William Jansen, who actually mapped 300 kilometres of the eastern Gulf of Carpentaria. And along with that, there were very often Spanish, Portuguese, and I think Dampier was one of those, Chinese, and the Cassins were very often down at the top end of Australia. They, in particular, Macassans, they actually came down for what's called the trepangs, which are sea cucumbers. And obviously they wanted them for something or other. But they also stayed a lot because you can look at some of the indigenous people there and you can see the impact of the Macassan. They look a bit more like islanders. So, yeah, that's the way it was. And the Dutch also set up little settlements along the top of Western Australia and the Northern Territory, and they've been found since. Van Diemen's Land, that was another one as well. Now, and on top of that, the one we hear the most about is Captain Cook, of course. He arrived in Botany Bay on the 29th of April, 1770. So that was a long time after William Jansen was there. And he sailed into Botany Bay, and then obviously he went back again. On the 18th of January, Captain Philip in the Sirius sailed into Botany Bay in 1788. And he sailed in there and found that it was unsuitable because there was no water, fresh water, etc. So on the 22nd of January, they moved to Sydney Cove. So that's the history part. My own history, as most of you would know, I spent 6 years in Ironland. So I know a fair bit about that sort of area. We had very many ceremonies which we shared, both the Indigenous people and the white people, including Australia Day. And I can remember a couple of Australia Days where people like Yapi Hindi actually performed and we all had a good time together. We shared some of their ceremonies, they shared some of theirs. And we've all got on pretty well together, which is the way things should be. Their main concerns, I never ever heard about Invasion Day until just the last few years. Their main concerns were health, employment, housing, and the future of the young people. And that's the main things you heard about, except for going fishing and having a good time. We all did that. So I have a lot of contacts still with the APY lands. So anyway, now I'll bring it back to World War II. There were many Indigenous soldiers that fought in World War II, and they fought under the same flag as the rest of us and the same uniforms, and they did a dang good job. In fact, the ADF, even now, is the biggest employer of Indigenous people. So it shows you that there's still a lot of people in the Army and the Armed Services. So that's a plus. And all of these people are together. They're under the same flag, same uniform, same purpose. It's a pity we can't reverse history. There's some awful things that have been done in history, but we can't. All we can do is build for the future, learn from history, and hopefully improve things along the way. If we all carried on about what happened in the past. In World War II, we would never speak to the Japanese or the Germans or anything else anymore. But we've got over that and we've moved and people get on. In fact, that generation's probably gone anyway. So I would hate to see the division caused with people to turn into something like what's going on in the Middle East at the moment. That's what I'd hate to see. And if we go down these tracks and we don't learn from history and we don't go for the future rather than the past, that's a danger that could happen. And finally, I would just like to say, we are one, but we are many, and from all the lands on earth we come. We share a dream. We sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you very much, Mr. Riley. Thank you both. Now, are you willing to take questions?
Yes.
Do we have any questions? I've got Councillor Herman, anybody else? We've got Councillor Herman.
Would you see a halfway mark of negotiation for separating the citizenship ceremonies from the civic awards perhaps in Australia Day, and then the citizenship ceremonies of another day? Room for move?
Yes, I think we would. We would, you know, obviously like it all together, but I think if we're willing to meet you halfway like that, if we had the civic awards, I think the communities would be very happy with that, because they're nominating these people and they want to see them receive it, and the people who receive it want to be seen in their own areas. So I think we would be happy with that.
All right, thank you. Councillor Gill.
Thank you, through the Mayor. When you were going door knocking, did you come across too many, some people who have already received civil awards?
Yes, I did.
And did they talk about their preference of when they receive that award? Because one of the things that council have done in the past is if people don't feel like receiving it on Australia Day, they have been able to receive it privately or at another time or place. Was that expressed to you at all during your door knocking?
No, well, there was probably about three people that I came across who involved in the consultation we did who had over the years received them. And they did, that was the first thing they said to me, is that we really enjoyed receiving that civic award in front of our own people in our own area. And having the mayor there and presenting it to us in our own area, that was very special. And one woman said to me, it's not the same when you're going into a formal area where it's presented. It was comes from the region, we want them back in the region.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. All right, thank you both very much for coming to present. And so I just checked nobody else had a question. Thank you very much for presenting.
Thank you.
I'm now going to go on to our third deputation, which is with regard to the discretionary rate rebate from Stirling Hospital. So just for the record, can I get you to say your name?
Kathy Miller with a C, Chair of Stirling Hospital.
And
Annette Nelson.
Annette Nelson, CEO of Stirling Hospital.
Thank you. All right, so as with the others, you have 10 minutes. Do you want to do the same?
We have actually allocated, in the interest of time and brevity.
So we're going to, so Annette, you would like to be with that. Don't get put your mic on. Mm-hmm. Okay,
there you go.
All right, so you have 10 minutes, and if you're
all ready,
whether you have questions afterwards as well. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Councillors. My name is Annette Nelson. I have the privilege of serving as the Chief Executive Officer at Stirling Hospital. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that we gather today on traditional lands of the Perry Nathan Grana people, and I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. I also extend this respect to any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people present here today. Thank you for the opportunity to address you on behalf of Stirling Hospital, a not-for-profit private healthcare facility that has been proudly serving the Adelaide Hills community for over 97 years. The hospital is governed by a volunteer board of directors, of which 50% live in the Adelaide Hills community. I'm here today to formally and respectfully request a discretionary rate rebate for Stirling Hospital to help us continue providing vital healthcare services to the Adelaide Hills community. We have already submitted our application for the rebate along with supporting documents, and I'd like to speak further on reasons this rebate is crucial for our hospital. As detailed in our submission, Stirling Hospital is an important local employer with currently over 80 employees, plus employees from other service providers within the hospital. Most of all live in the Adelaide Hills region. We also support over 40 specialists who operate at the hospital, plus their supporting anaesthetist and assistants. Stirling Hospital continues to engage with numerous local businesses, making the hospital a major economic contributor to the Adelaide Hills region. At the heart of the Adelaide Hills Council's strategic plan is a commitment to fostering community wellbeing through close collaboration with the people it serves. Stirling Hospital shares this vision and remains committed to providing inclusive, welcoming and an accessible range of health services to hundreds of local residents every year. Our hospital is an integral part of creating a connected, engaged and resilient community that thrives. A discretionary rebate of $28,000, which equates to approximately $1 per rate payer, represents a small investment for each of the council's 30,000 rate payers, but translates into a significant contribution toward the health and well-being of the local community and access to a private healthcare facility in the community. Stirling Hospital is a critical healthcare provider for the Adelaide Hills, offering essential services such as operation, a newly commenced sleep study service, radiology services, physiotherapy, pathology, respiratory care, and a range of specialist consultants who utilise our consulting rooms. These services assist to reduce the strain on public healthcare system and ensures the local community receives timely care close to home, which we all know improves health outcomes. In the past year alone, Stirling Hospital has admitted over 4,000 patients ranging from 12 months to 90 plus in age, demonstrating the indispensable role we play in the health of the community. We also continue to host many local community groups on site from the hospital. Some of these groups, Stirling Community Shop, Summit Health Board Meetings, Witty Knitter Craft Group, GP and Medical Education Events, and Hills Dental Group. Like many private healthcare providers nationwide, though, we are navigating significant financial challenges. Stirling Hospital is not immune to these pressures, and the financial landscape for private healthcare is becoming increasingly difficult. Our request for 100% rate rebate is necessary to help offset rising costs and limited revenue, particularly from health insurer providers. Our main revenue comes from health insurer providers. The hospital does not receive any funding from the state or federal government. We do at times receive very generous donations from the community. In fact, last year we received a total of $42,000, which was greatly accepted and assisted with purchasing some equipment for patients. We do occasionally undertake some public health work to assist with managing and the waiting list. The rate rebate would assist in critical upgrades to the hospital, including our ventilation system and ensuring both compliance and patient safety into the future. Stirling Hospital's operations are intertwined with many local businesses, and any reduction in services could lead to job losses and negatively affect local business contracts. While we are implementing strategies for both short and long-term sustainability, the rebate would provide vital financial relief, allowing us to maintain the high-quality healthcare that the community depends on. We are fortunate to have a strong community support, which has been especially evident over the last couple of years. This rebate is key to securing our future as both a healthcare provider and a significant employer in the region. In closing, Stirling Hospital is not only an essential healthcare provider, but also a major contributor to the economic and social fabric of the Adelaide Hills. 100% rebate would provide much needed financial relief, ensuring our long-term stability, the protection of local jobs, and the continued support for local businesses. The strength of the Adelaide Hills community has always been in its ability to come together in times of need, whether it be through the bushfires of Ash Wednesday in 83, the Cuddly Creek fire in 2019-20, or more recently, the Woolworths fire, which has impacted so many local businesses. Now it's the hospital's time of need, and we are asking for your support to help us continue serving this wonderful community. I'd like to thank you for your time and consideration, and I look forward to working together to secure the future of the hospital, a vital asset in the Adelaide Hills community. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette. We've got a couple of minutes left. Cathy, did you want to say anything?
No, I'd just like to echo both had input in during the presentation.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, now, has anyone got any questions, please? For either Cathy or Annette? Thank you. Councillor Hubbard, and then...
Professional question, actually. Just... brief question. Have you provided a copy of your financial statements to the administration?
Yes, we have provided a link to the ACSC site where our financials are available.
Thank you for that. Do you admit any non-health fund patients at all?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Anybody else want to ask questions? If not, well, thank you very much for the presentation and making it by coming to my presenting to us. Thank you very much. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, now comes to item 8.3 on our agenda, which is the public forum. So we did get 11 names, but I'm just going to ask both which to speak in the public forum. Could they put their hands up just so that we can gauge that we have got the right numbers? Sorry, can I just put your hands right up? So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. Right. So what we'll do is if we have I'll go on the higher figure, if we have 12 and we allow a couple of minutes, 2 minutes for each person, that's 24 minutes, and it's always going to take a little bit longer than that. So I have to ask Lee of the chamber to extend our time because normally it's only only 10 minutes, I think, in maximum. So I need to ask the chamber, do you support having 30 minutes for the public forum this evening? I'm just going to show hands so it's a bit of an indication. All right, thank you, Jack. Thank you. So what I'll ask you to do is, I don't have a list of the names, but I do know that Dr. Scott Brumby is here this evening. So I'm going to ask if you would like to come up, Mr. Brumby, first, because then that would need to follow on from the last presentation.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors, for your time. I would like to support Annette Nelson and Cathy Miller in their request for the rate rebate. I've been a resident for the last 22 years in the Adelaide Hills. I've been a surgeon for the last 20 years, looking and caring for all patients of the Adelaide Hills over that period. I've been a previous board member, chair of the medical advisory, and my current role as a community representative as president of Save the Stirling Hospital Committee. If I was talking to you 12 months ago, it'd be very different, because we were wanting the hospital to remain in Stirling. Now that the hospital has decided to stay here, it's very different. And the surgeons and the community are in complete support of the hospital in wishing to remain here, and the support needed for vital equipment to allow us to care for the community. It's been regarded as a private hospital, but Stirling Hospital is a not-for-profit. It has a volunteer board, and we look after all patients, public and privately insured, with specialists caring for people. And it's only a small fraction that actually require surgery. So it'd be wrong to think of this as just supporting a private hospital. This is a community asset that looks after all patients at all stages of their healthcare. As a point of history, many years ago, the hospital was awarded a full rebate on their rates. And after the Ash Wednesday bushfire, and the council was in the previous Stirling council in some financial trouble, the hospital agreed to remove that rebate in their support for the hospital. And I think now, as Annette said, we're at a time where that support is now needed for council to support our hospital. I won't go any over the other issues that Annette's mentioned, but to highlight that this is an issue facing all private hospitals in Australia, and the support of local government as well as state government, the surgeons and the community is essential for the future of this hospital. So I'd appreciate your consideration and the CEO's request for the rebate. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bromley, before you disappear. Did anyone have a question?
Apologies.
I'm sorry to make you sit back down.
It's good for my step.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Can I just then ask? Can I just ask out of all of you who put your hands up and who said wanted to speak, is there anyone else who wanted to speak about the hospital? All right, now I just want to make sure we've got you all through to the right way. Okay, so now I'm going to ask, I'd like to ask Mr. David Ashton to come forward. Sorry, you have a question, Council?
Yes, I do, Mayor. Just wanting to know if we will consider moving item 12.2 the agenda so we can address the Stirling Hospital at this point.
Sorry, everyone, I'm just trying to get a bit of advice here. Before I do that, can we now that I realise that no one else has said at the moment that they will want to speak on this in the forum, but can we let the forum go through and then we can then consider it then, right?
Sure.
Oh, sorry, everyone. Let me now bring forward, ask Mr. David Ashton to come forward, please, so that you can talk to the council side.
Thank you. Bear with me.
Yeah,
it's been a good 20 years since I've done this sort of thing, so
you've got two minutes, but we do have some questions.
Thanks all for having me. Thanks, Melanie, for being a conduit. Access to and from Inner Bracky. Sitting in that seat there for illustration purposes, what caused this petition was observing the young child pushing their bike between the railing and the white line, that road, which is about two-thirds the size or the width of one of these pages. Saw it once, thought it was bad. A couple of weeks later, saw it again and spoke to the principal of the local school, Cassie Ackland. She had seen the same thing. Wow, this is pretty bad. And so I started a petition for awareness of our issue with access along that road. Essentially, we're at the Crest, which is the old detention centre, the old Married Officers' Quarters, and we go, we have our kids at Woodside, we use the local bus stop, and we can't access either. And we're aware that it's a state road to make matters worse where I apply. There used to be access along there, it used to be a track. The residents from Woodside used to go out to the cemetery of Ibraki, the married officers' kids, the married officers used to walk the main gate through a footpath that you can still find there. However, that's all been superseded with the safety of the traffic. The situation there, have a pretty laissez-faire approach to things, but I have significant concerns for that area of road, and we are really up to some advocacy and some help as well. There's a fatality marker on that road, just to try to hone how difficult it is. The grass is overgrown or swampy in winter. We don't have access, essentially, is what we're trying to say. And we're looking for ways that people help us, you know, and try and raise awareness of our issue. That's pretty much what I want to say. I'm happy for any questions.
All right, you've done very well. That's nice. Thank you very much. Yeah. You've done the team initiative very well. Is there anyone who wants to ask David any questions? There is before you foreshadowed, there is a motion later on coming up on this.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I just want to say, sorry, I know my 2 minutes is up. Every signature on the petition is directly localised in that estate. We haven't sought anyone outside of that area. We haven't gone to every house there. Cabin.
Right, so what you're saying is they're all locals.
Yeah, all directly local. And the issue's just snowballed with petitions that everyone's like, yeah, it's just ridiculous.
All right, thank you very much, David. I don't think anyone else has got any more questions. So something might come out in the debate, I think.
No chance.
Can I ask, is anybody else in the public forum wanting to speak about the Woodside Initiative? Oh, I don't know. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, David. All right, well, thank you. So we're now going to move the... Sorry, I'm on a bit of advice to get a big question. All right, so sorry, we'll come back and we'll continue with the public forum. So what I'll do, I'm gathering that the rest of you are wanting to speak on the Australia Day issue. So I'll ask you to come up one by one or in twos, whatever you want to do it. But if you could just give your name and the township that you're from, or has that already been done? That's fine. just for the minute record. All right, so who wants to put their hand up first? I can see one going there. Okay, would you like to come forward then?
Excuse me, we want to record it.
Yes, let me explain that to people. I had said to Mr. Dane that he can record their own presentations.
And is it possible for one of the speakers on our side to be done?
No, I understand that. And I've given him permission to do that because it goes on the public record anyway. And so this is just a quick way for them to keep record of what they have said. But it goes on the public record anyway, so anyone can actually access it a bit later. So, ma'am, can I ask your name, please?
Hi, it's Christine Reed.
Right, did we get that? Is that AGIGHT?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, so...
Just take that off.
Will that not record from where you're sitting, Mr. Tane? All
Okay, now that I've just got my podcast organised, we can proceed. I was one of those people, I'm fifth generation Australian, Adelaide Hills. My family came from Prussia in 1844 because they wanted inclusiveness. Their own country, the ruler of the times, wouldn't let them have an opinion, wouldn't let them talk about their faith, which at the time was Lutheran. So I guess in my genes, there's a bit of a cellular memory, and I feel like the times are coming back. The very reason my forebears left Prussia, the same environment seems to be happening here. I think that a lot of people have got a woke mind virus. I think the thing we learn from history is we actually don't learn. Now, just as a matter of inclusivity, we came a half an hour early tonight. We stood out in the breeze. Several people didn't get in. It's against council law to refuse entrance of the public to a public council meeting like this unless there are items of confidentiality on the agenda. No, several people went
just
home.
Ask for a minute, just ask for a minute. I can see getting.
My friend is out there in the cold. I've got the car keys. She's my neighbour. And inclusivity, one girl. I've been to every meeting. I've stood in the foyer.
I'm sorry.
And there's a chair there. She's refused to stand out in the cold alone.
I'm sorry, I'll have to ask you to leave, otherwise, but I want to hear your point of view.
So why can't my friend come in and sit on a chair?
Because we had a limited number.
But you can't do that.
Obviously, you have 500 people in here, if there were 500 people.
There were five turned away.
Let me just check. Let me check for you.
The security guards rung SAPOL. She's out there in the dark on her own. You should do something now.
Well, can you just hold, please?
Certainly. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
So the point is that we were trying to make is that we currently have seating capacity, and that is where we're at.
There's a chair there.
Please don't keep telling me about chairs.
We've been here every meeting.
Counselors. These are reserved chairs. I want to hear your view about...
Well, we were the next in line. We were waiting as a couple. Well, we are neighbours. And they let a Pembrokeshire person in. She said, I identify as Pembrokeshire. So she got in. I didn't. I obviously look like someone you don't want in here.
Sorry. I thought I've already done that. But I want to hear your point of view, right? Point of view about why you came tonight. That's what's important. I know it's also important about somebody being outside. I cannot manage that because I've reached capacity here. But it's important.
Why is it this meeting? We've been here over capacity every other meeting. Why is it this meeting?
Because we have tried to control the amount because we just did not know how many people were coming. So that's as much as I can tell you. If you don't want to tell us anymore, that's fair enough. And if you want to go and meet with your colleague outside, that's fair enough. But I'm going to give you a warning and the last chance. If you would like to give us your point of view about Australia Day, it is important.
I'm here because I don't believe in any division. I don't believe in... I had a farm down the southeast. I grew up at Meningi with Aboriginal people. My name in working with Aboriginals for about 40 years, they gave me a name, Gunya. Gunya means white Aboriginal. So there is no divide with Aboriginal people. This type of bureaucracy and this interference causes division. People are at one. 200 years of pain, it's about time everyone moved on and got well and got healed. We have to move into the future. Out of the past comes a portrait of the future, and we can't carry on like this anymore because it just causes division. I believe that all the people that I've spoken to, the silent majority, that weren't told,
are not happy. And I was a business person for 50 years. I was a grizzling person when there was Australia Day. I was in my garden and I used to say, oh, another public holiday, I have to pay my staff. And right. But when certain, thank you. When certain bureaucrats chose to take a big part of our culture away from us, where we are all Australian, the people from Afghanistan, all the migrants, we are all one. And when they decided to take it away, that's when I felt that we had to have a voice.
All right, thank you. Thank you for talking on the topic. Who next would like to come up? Thank you, Mr. Payne. And Mrs. Payne. I think you've already got your recording device up there. Now, so are you going to do 2 minutes each?
Yeah.
Look, two hands up, yeah? Okay. Do you want to do that separately or together?
No, we're just going to follow on.
Right.
We have a document to read, and
okay.
We would like 3 minutes, but you saying we only have two.
Well, you've got 2 minutes, ain't you? You both put your hand up. So what I'm going to ask you to do, though, is, I'm sorry, Christine,
yes.
Just before you rush off, I didn't get your locality, sorry, that's my fault.
Palmdorf,
thank you very much.
I'm just letting my friend in.
Yeah, sure, fine. Now, Mr. Tate, you are, can I just get your location? Is it Birdwood?
Yes.
Yes, fine, thanks. Thank you very much. Okay, you have 2 minutes
off. My name is John Tate from Birdwood, and I'd like to talk about democracy. Thank you for the opportunity to address the Chamber and Gallery. Your council seemed to have forgotten what democracy means and how you can test for true democracy. The virgin of democracy is not passing the putt test. The more you manipulate it, the more obvious it is to everyone I met, and I met many hundreds of them, speaking with several hundreds of people in your area, that you're practicing your own version of democracy with not your own bias and determined outcomes in mind. The Adelaide Hills Council population is made up of all kinds of different people from different backgrounds with a range of beliefs. The people can be grouped into many different kinds of communities based on a range of factors they share in common, and the job is to represent them all fairly. This can be the best achieved with the representative democracy. It's really simple. Councillors are elected by the people of the Adelaide Hills Council area. They are not elected by a minority community group to represent only their beliefs. In a representative democracy, you're elected to represent the people, the citizens of the Adelaide Hills Council, and your decisions should be made in support of your citizens. Councillors, to represent all of the people from all of the various communities, you need to put aside any biases in religion, politics, ideologies, cultural preferences, etc., and represent the people in a fair and equitable manner. In a representative democracy, the views of the majority take precedence in an election. The candidate with the most votes win. The losers don't like this, but that's the rules. It is council's job to listen to and consider the range of views held by their citizens and then to make a decision based on the majority of the people, not a majority of a minority community like the Greens voting for the community or the Adelaide Hills Reconciliation Working Group, for example. In January this year, the Australian largest independent research company, Roy Morgan, polled over 1,100 adult Australians wide on their opinions on Australia Day. They found that the majority of Australians, 68.5, say January the 26th should be known as Australia Day. There was consistent support for Australian Day across all age demographics, including 18 to 34 age group. A majority of Australians, 58.5% across all ages, said that the date of Australian Day should not be moved.
All right, thank you, Mr. Tate. This is
So, Mr. Tate, if you could just knock your one on, and then Mr. Stage, get on. So if you could just turn your microphone, I'll take that off. So just help the other person. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. The stunning anomaly highlighted in this research came from supporters of the minority Greens Party. 94% of Greens voters say Australia Day should be moved to a different day, while nearly 90% of Greens voters say that January the 26th should be known as Invasion Day. This is an obvious example of where the majority of the Australian people hold opposite views. To the clear majority of a minority group, in this case, the Greens Party. Adelaide Hills Council community consultation is performed in the same way. You don't get to choose the community you want to consult with. In this case, the Adelaide Hills Reconciliation Working Group for the decisions that affect all the people in the Adelaide Hills Council. A recent example of this is seen in your agenda item 12.1, where the Director of Corporate Services reported to Council on consultation of options for citizenship award ceremonies and Australia Day events, which we understood, according to the motion passed in this chamber on the 13th of August 2024, that the CEO would provide a report to Council by the end of 2024, October 2024. Are we to believe that the CEO is still working on his less biased report, or did he simply pass the task to someone else? In the report, that to undertake further community consultation would be contrary to Council's commitment to reconciliation and may endanger the reconciliation process and the future of the Reconciliation Working Group. Isn't that conflict of interest? And it failed to consult with any of the other stakeholders, so the findings are completely meaningless, unrelated, and a waste of time. What part of representative democracy is not understood? Adelaide Hills Council version of democracy is like paying the most attention to the squeaky wheel, especially when it agrees with council policy, and then simply ignoring other voices.
I can continue on for you.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. So, sir, can I get your name?
Certainly. Keith Bennett, Mount Torrens. Keith Bennett, Mount Torrens. Sorry. Is that better?
Yes, sorry.
No worries.
So your time starts now, thank you.
All right, just carrying on from where Edna got up to, in other voices, with opposing views, views that council do not wish to hear, and then to make decisions based on the appearance of democracy. We did not consult, but only with one group of representation and special interest group.
That might just stop you there.
Sorry.
I am sure that we consulted with more than one group.
And you did. Did we want to debate that right now? The groups you consulted with were just mainly the stakeholders, not the community, from my recollection.
No,
I understand. Yeah, that's why I'm just mentioning it. Yeah. All right. Can I continue?
Yes, sure.
Thank you. Often the communities that individual councillors and the council as a whole engage with do not represent the views of the Adelaide Hills Council population at large. These minority communities are being overrepresented and their value disproportionately inflated, while other communities are ignored. Representative democracy is a democracy for the people, all the people, not just those that yell the loudest or are a favourable minority. Clearly overrepresented in the policy agenda of South Australian Adelaide Hills Council. Council says that it advocates and practices democracy, but does not really. Let's take
it. Sorry, I've got to ask you to be a bit respectful there.
I'm just going by our opinions. It's opinions.
Well, no, it's opinion.
Okay. I apologise.
I just want to remind everyone who comes here that this council here was elected democratically by you, the people, and you did it on the basis of what you were told.
We understand that. And I think we're losing using the definition of the word. Okay.
Sorry, I'll just add that something.
Oh, it's okay. Thank you. No, thank you. I don't apologise. Let's take the Australia Day issue as an example. Two petitions tabled to council will now overwhelmingly show that the people at large, all from within the Adelaide Hills Council area, not a fringe minority group, want Adelaide Hills Council to support celebration of Australia Day. 1,630 signatures of the Adelaide Hills residents and ratepayers who want council to celebrate Australia Day on the 26th of January versus just the 576 signatures, including impressions, not people, nor signatures collected from the internet, from a geographical location, in an online petition. So what does council do with this? It looks like they kick the can down the road a little bit further, find all the excuses under the sun. It's too hard, too expensive, too divisive, too controversial. It's not enough time to consult the public. So again, what part of the representation democracy do you not understand? How much time do I have? Sorry. I'm a bit lost.
8 seconds.
I'll leave it there then. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Can we ask the next person to come forward? Thank you so much. So if you could just give the name and location.
Yeah. Right. My name's Michael. Is that turned on?
Oh, no. You need to press the middle button there. When you get the red light, come on.
I've got a selfie going on here. So, my name's Michael Arvin. I'm from Oak Bank. So, I look at Oak Bank. My business is located
at
ARBON. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors, for engaging in this tonight. It's nice to see democracy in action. So, thank you. I guess I'm of the position that Australia Day should be celebrated on January the 26th. I believe that January 26th is a day that unites Australians and it doesn't divide them. And the way I'm raising my children is that we are all equal and we're all Australian. We're very proud to be Australian. I'd just like to refer to agenda item 8.1.3, which discusses your Adler Reconciliations petition. I checked out the petition today, but the agenda item 8.1.3 fails to mention that this is an e-petition. It's the website's actually megaphone.org.au, and I'm quite concerned around the quality of the petition or any controls around that petition. It says here there's 376 signatories, but I click sign here and there's no way that you can verify where the signatories have come from. You can't confirm that they're real people. And you can't confirm that no one signed it under a false ID or pseudonym. So the integrity of that petition should really be brought into question. And I'm a bit worried that the petition's even been tabled without those control measures. Or do we know the people are over 18? I don't know.
I don't know, but we could say that about the others as well. We don't always know the background details.
Yeah, you absolutely could. But it's important to note that the councillors are making the decision based off these documents. So, you know, and that's why it's really important the council engages in a proper consultation of the people. You said earlier that you were elected democratically, and I totally respect that. You were. I voted in the council election, but the people that voted for you also expect a democratic process in reverse around this decision around January 26th and Australia Day, and I don't see that occurring at the moment. In that same report under petition details, it said that in the petition that many councils in SA have changed the date of their citizenship ceremonies and community awards, and included in that list Unlinked City Council, which has reversed its decision. So that's also inaccurate. So another reason why that petition is not very credible, because it has inaccurate information in it.
Yeah, but to be fair, it was a very recent decision. So
it was about a month ago, so there's more than enough time to correct that in the most recent month. And also agenda item 12.1, which was a report prepared for council around this decision. I mean, section 2 of that under analysis, it noted that the council's commitment to reconciliation and that this is an important consideration in consultation issues. And I'll just quickly jump straight to that document, if that's okay. One last second. It notes here under engagement and consultation that council committees are not applicable, council workshops are not applicable, external agencies are not applicable, and the community is not applicable. The only thing listed is advisory groups, as in Adelaide Hills Reconciliation Working Group. How's a committee not applicable in a consultation?
All I would say from that is that there have been workshops before,
And I think that relates to the particular resolution that was put forward. So I can't really answer that.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to leave you with a presentation. Anyone questions? Thank you. Councillor
Dan. Just a question in relation to the last point. The list that Mr. Arden did list off, that's in relation to the preparation of the report, correct? And not whether, you know, if the elected body chose to make a particular decision and that included consultation, obviously they would have to engage with the community. But whenever that part of the report is specifically around, okay, the preparation of this report, this is who or who is not.
I think that's what I was trying to indicate, that it relates to the visual resolution.
But is this report what council will be making its decision based on?
No, it has a lot of things to base its decision on, and that's what everyone else around the table will be debating later.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Who are we next on? Thank you, sir. Can I ask you just to say your name and locality for our record?
Yes, Your Worship. Tim Gregg from Stirling. Tim Gregg, G-R-E-G-G.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. I don't wish to add much to the conversation. Simply, I did want to make a point about the petition discussion a little earlier. There was a huge amount of genuine hard work put into the two petitions that have been presented. They were face-to-face petitions. They were with real people. And I would make the point that a number of opposing views were also recorded in the original petition. So I do think they do have a higher level of integrity.
Sorry, Mr. Brad, can I just ask what which petition you mean?
I'm referring to the petition that Mr. Tate brought to the council. In that petition, there were a number of opposing views also recorded. And I think that highlights the integrity and the good intention of bringing a true consultation to the council. Please excuse me. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. I think Michael's comments earlier about the relative integrity of the two different petitions being discussed tonight is very relevant. I wanted to refer to the Unley City of Unley Council. They were in a similar kind of dilemma as we might find ourselves in here, where there was a good deal of controversy over their decision. They did do something about it, and they did enter into a consultation. And I think what people found was that their decision originally did erode people's trust in council, and it raised the question, what else is being done without us being consulted, which is, I think, sort of a fair thing. Unley did the right thing, and they righted their wrong. They put this issue to public consultation for 3 weeks in August this year.
Okay, you've got 20 seconds.
Thank you. And 62% said council should hold a citizenship ceremony on Australia Day Awards on the 26th, and 72% said council should hold Australia Day community event in 2025. I would simply say there's a huge engagement that have come out of this whole process. No one asked for the referendum that's been referred to. No one asked for this decision from council. It has got a lot of people engaged. We're probably all engaged with our council more than we ever expected to be. We come with a view to trying to bring a positive result out of all this consultation and all the community engagement we've had. There will be Australia Day events going forward. We hope it's with the council's blessing in the future. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, everyone. Who would like to now come forward, please? Speak in the forum. Thank you, sir. Now there's two microphones up there. If you'd like to speak to the other one or any other section.
Can you just give us your name and location, thank you, for a minute?
Yeah, Craig Jones, Greenhill.
Thank you, Craig. You have 2 minutes, so the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to speak again. I came to a council meeting back in April when this subject of civic and citizenship ceremonies was on the table then. And I told the chamber that I was in the midst of completing my own citizenship application. I have now passed my test and I'm proudly waiting to receive my invitation to attend the ceremony. I am one of the people that this decision affects directly, and I speak in favour of the move of civic and citizenship ceremonies away from the 26th of January. There's been talk of compromise this evening, moving citizenship ceremonies but keeping civic awards on the 26th of January. I think for me it's important to acknowledge that compromise is already being made. Australia Day will remain on the 26th of January nationally, that won't change. The leadership decision taken by the Adelaide Hills Council to move these events to a date that does not cause members of our community pain and allows everyone the opportunity to be involved was the correct decision. Whilst this is a helpful decision to unite our community, this is already a compromise and no further compromise should be acceptable. When I was here last, I spoke of my excitement to become a citizen. That remains, but also my concern that being called to a ceremony on Australia Day would prevent it from being a celebration for me, my friends and family, and particularly my First Nations friends. A question was asked earlier about what we want this date to represent for our new citizens. My date to become a new citizen draws closer, and I want to be able to proudly celebrate that with the wonderful Adelaide Hills community. I can't do that on the 26th of January. There's also been talk of representing all people in a democracy and not a minority. I feel this argument deeply. As a queer man, my rights have been hard won over the last 60 years by my elders who were in the minority and the allies who stood with them. It also took people in positions of power to take leadership decisions which were not always popular. The decision that you took was the correct one, and I hope you stand by it.
All right, thank you, Craig, very much. You want to take any questions from anyone? Sorry, Mr. Jones. Does anyone? I'll just ask. Anyone got a question? All right, no, sorry, thank you. All right, who would next like to come forward, please? Thank you, Sam. Thank you, sir. And then could you give the names and location just so that we can think for our record first for the minutes?
Yes. My name's Courtney Hunter Heberman and I live in Yaktunga, which is known also as Mount Barker.
Thank you, Courtney. And so your name and location.
My name's David Booth. I also live in Yaktunga, Mount Barker.
Sorry, Courtney, can I just clarify your surname? Was it Hunter or Younger?
Hunter. Hyphenated Heberman, Heberman.
Thank you. Is that correct? What's up on the screen?
Heberman, A instead of E.
And David, where was your location placed?
Mount Barker, yep. Yeah.
Mount Barker, yeah. Thank you very much. Now, how do you want to do this? Do you want, how do you want to do this? I mean, 2 minutes each, or do you want to do it?
If you've got any time left, I'll just jump in. Then.
Okay. All right, so you're going to build that head off?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Okay, Courtney, you've got 2 minutes off there.
Thank you all for having me. I'm a Paramount German and Afghan woman. I'm also a mother of six and a grandmother of one. I live here in the Adelaide Hills. I work here. My children are raised here. I'm a direct bloodline descendant of Christine Hunter, who was one of sisters, which is the world's oldest shared story. I also won this year the Inspirational Woman of the Year Award for exposing the systemic racism that exists in SAFOG. I come here tonight representing my family, the Hunter family. And also to talk about the event that we had done earlier this year in Mount Barker, where in the true spirit of reconciliation, we need to be reconciling not only with each other, but with the country, the land itself. We sit here and I study with CSIRO and a research team, the declining ecosystems out here in our environment in the Adelaide Hills. And I come here tonight to tell you all that we don't actually have time. We don't have time to sit here and be polemic. We don't have time to have polarity and sit here and be divided. When we did our event earlier this year, me and David, it was fantastic. We had over 1,000 people come. We reached out to the Survival Day, not only the Survival Day people, but also to the Australia Day Council, because from us and the Hunter family, so Ruby Hunter and Archie Roach, you all may be familiar with, it's actually about coming together and working together on this beautiful nation that we all share. So despite my personal opinions, I ask that everyone put their differences aside in this room, including all of you sitting behind me. You know, my grandfather was a German man and I grew up on 35,000 acres, you know, and he wouldn't even look at me because I was brown and he had black slaves. You know, up here in Nairn, they've got plaques where my ancestors were chained to the tree, and we all sit here tonight arguing over awards. Why do we even need awards for being human beings? Why can't we all come together on this day, what me and David had created, and actually be celebrating not only the survival of our people on their own nation, but the survival of all of you. We should be celebrating everybody. We don't need polemicy. You behind me, you also sit here and preach that we should all be working together. But that's not what I see. You know, actions speak louder than words. Not once have any of you reached out to any of us. So it's not about removing. It's about empathetic considerations and seizing the opportunity to heal together and not remain stagnant. It's 2024. We can all do better.
All right, Courtney, you're almost at the end of your time. Did you want to hand over?
I work out here as a cultural fire practitioner, healing my country on my own. Not only are my people traumatised, my country is traumatised. And I'd like to just quickly hand to David.
Thank you.
I just want, just like to echo Courtney's voice and opinion, and very well spoken about how these events and us coming together as mob, we're healing each other, we're healing country, and that's what we all need. We all need to have that healing. It's not about division. It's about us all becoming one mob. And there's a lot of talk in our culture about lots of different things, like events that we have and ceremonies. When we have a welcome to country and we have a smoking ceremony, that ceremony is there when it's been done for thousands of years. And right up there at the Mount Barker Summit, Wamamukura was a meeting place for all our neighbours. And all those neighbours, the Kaurna, the Ngadjeri, the Ngurundjeri, the Nungaraki, the Markat, the Ramangiri people, they all came and met there for thousands of years. They traded. And when they had these ceremonies, it was to get rid of that negative energy, to have that ceremony, to bring people closer. Not only that, that smoke coming over our body made us all smell the same. We were all one people. We were all part of that area of country. When we were all there together, even though we came from different areas of country, we had that trade and we had ceremonies together and everything was put aside. This is what needs to happen again for country to heal and for us all to heal. And that's what we're about, is bringing things together, not dividing them. We don't want to walk in front of anybody like some people think we are, and councillor believing or looking at one side only, but we don't want to walk behind anyone either. We want to walk beside you more, and that's how and what true reconciliation is about. Thank you.
All right, thank you, David. Thank you both. Would you like to take any questions for somebody else?
Yes.
Does anyone have a question? Thank you. Councillor Kerr.
Just you through you, Madam Mayor, I just like to say thank you for your presentation. It's very hard for us to sit here and we get lots of different versions of people's opinions, but to hear from you is very special, because this is the people we're not hearing from. So I really thank you for coming forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, I'll say thank you very much for coming on to us this evening and for speaking. And I then ask you to leave the desk off your next one to come on. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time and for your presentation. Now, who else would like to come forward? Sorry, ma'am, can we get your name and your location?
Yes, hi, I'm Marie Tolkien from Birdwood.
From the country spell the surname.
T-O-H-O-L-K-E.
Thank you. But Emery, sorry, you have 2 minutes, off you go.
Thank you. So first of all, hello Mayor and councillors, other guests and observers, and thank you for letting me speak tonight. So I've been to 3 council meetings now where the issue of Australia Day has been addressed. I want to thank Councillor Malcolm Herman and Councillor Pauline Gill for moving and seconding the motion last time to get more community feedback or options to explore options for that. I was also glad to hear Mr. Nathan Daniel in March say, of course, there's still democracy, it's good to know. I also want to urge you to enable the people of this community to celebrate what we now have in Australia on whichever date the community ultimately chooses. Everyone knows that in order to bring up a healthy, well-adjusted child, the parent, guardian or teacher needs to not just focus on the negatives, which do need to be addressed, but also to remind them of the positive parts of their character and the things they have achieved, to encourage them and inspire them to do as well and better. Similarly, in order to build up a school community, the principal knows that of course there needs to be behaviour management plans and correction, but that they also need to build up a sense of pride in the school. So there's a focus on assemblies and awards and telling the students what great things they have achieved and what a good school they have. It's the same in business or any human relationships. Notice the good, be understanding, build relationships, build a team mentality. And so it is in building a foundation. We can acknowledge and celebrate our various histories, including that of our First Nation peoples. And we can celebrate the good in our history and the helpful and enjoyable traditions that have been built over time. Some of the past has been hurtful and shameful. And it must be said that there is good and bad in every culture. We need to understand the hurts of the past. Acknowledging that is very important. Saying sorry and asking forgiveness on behalf of those who went before us, yes, that has been done, it is being done. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. But we do need to move forward. The date of Australia Day is not inherently linked to grief and sorrow. It's sad that people have been led to believe this and to associate grief with this day. I urge the council to listen to feedback from all the other Hills community. Don't just focus on one group or don't focus on just the negative or pull down the good we have. We agree with Carolyn and Lydia earlier that we want all to feel included and respected and connected. We want it to be healing. I don't know that changing a date would just alone do that.
All right, Marie, yeah, I agree. Very last seconds.
Yeah, I agree with Ian Bailey. Let's look forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your presentation. Hold on, Lorraine, anyone got a question from Lorraine? All right, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right, everyone, that brings our public forum to an end. And I would just like to thank everyone who has taken time and the effort not only just to turn up but also to present as well. And I can be very helpful to many people. And I know a great deal of support of me. So thank you very much for that. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, councillors, we count on now to item 9 on our agenda. This is presentations. We don't have any presentations for this evening. Item 10 is questions by notice. We don't have questions by notice either. Item 11 is for motions by notice. And we do have one motion by notice, and that is from Councillor Selwood. And so if you'd like to speak to your motion, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Meg. And I'd like to move the motion as printed. I did circulate around the yellow section, which is a new section from what was in the agenda. The Crest development in Nimbabrack is really thriving, and many people have told me that they love living there. Residents have told me that they're growing sense of community and that they're enjoying that. The petition we received tonight from Dave Ashton and the Nimbabrack community highlights that there's a problem with people who live there. They want to walk and ride to the bus stop, to Woodside, and they want to feel safe doing so. I've walked along that road. It's really difficult to get along. I don't know if anyone else has walked along there, but the guardrail leaves no space for foot traffic or bikes. And people from Inverbracky do feel connected to Woodside, but don't feel connected by foot or by bike. As highlighted in the background to the motion, local residents have witnessed near-miss collisions, and we heard about those from Dave Ashton tonight, and some of those could have resulted in serious injury. The motion calls for the CEO to speak to DIT about the issues with guardrails, but also start the process of trying to find a better way to connect Inverbracky residents with Woodside by foot or by bike. It's important that those discussions happen before we choose to allocate new funds so that we can best understand the nature of the issue and the potential for partnership with state government. I commend the motion.
All right, thank you. And thank you for speaking to the motion. Let's see, did you get a second? Councillor Hurley, you want to second?
Yes.
What's the other question?
Second and speak.
Thank you.
I know it very well. Sometimes I come through that way. Particularly when I travel to Mount Barker, and I've been doing a lot of that recently. It is an 80-foot zone.
Correct.
Correct, yeah. It's an 80-foot zone. So it's outside the 60 or the 50 that we know of the town. It is dangerous. Just a question. In the motion mentions both pedestrian traffic and cycling. Now, I'm pleased to see the cycling side of it. Because it could be a similar project to the Angular bikeway, which is running from Mount Torrens to Burgess. That's a walking path and a cycle path, which that will really open up that area between the two towns and wider as well. But, of course, there's a cost tax for anything. Angular, it's about $1 million a kilometre if you go for that same sort of pitch. Now, whether that is appropriate for this, that's up for the engineering department to determine, but there's a large amount of money if they go to that sort of level. Could be a lot less, of course. I think there's advantage to the residents of Crest, which is still growing, it's still homes going up there. So in a couple of years, that'll be full, and who knows how many parents and the children in particular coming into that Woodside area for their supplies, school, and entertainment. Coming from the new splash pool at the pool at the Woodside Centre,
All right, thank you, Councillor Herman. So we've got a move from the seconder. Is anybody wanting to speak in the debate? Thank you, Councillor Munch.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I support this motion wholeheartedly. I think it would be really good to begin some discussions with DIT and investigate options to address this issue from a safety perspective. Not everyone has a car, and we need to be doing more to support pedestrians and cyclists in our community. The township of Inverbracky, as far as I'm aware, does not have any services within it, like shopping and supermarkets, things like that. That are accessible by the general community, yet we are allowing a community of significant size to form, and the service centre for that community will obviously be Woodside. So therefore, we should be looking at more than just roads for those people. We should be looking at giving them some safe access for pedestrians and cyclists to the Woodside service centre. And I think this, there have been some discussions around the place, and particularly I think in the consideration of the Greater Adelaide Region Plan, of potentially rezoning some of that land there so that even more housing could occur. And there's also been some talk about the Woodside Army Barracks closing and the land being rezoned for housing as well. So that would even put the case even more for having some safe sort of access to the website. So I commend the motion.
All right, thank you very much. So anybody else wishing to speak in that debate? If not, go back to the mover.
Yes. Very quickly, thank you. I just wanted to note that the Woodside Commerce Association gave us a presentation recently. This is something that they raised as well, but also something that they've talked about in terms of better connectivity with Woodside. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So That finishes that debate. So I'm now going to get you to vote on the plan, please. In favour of Councillor Taylor's motion. Thank you very much. That's carried unanimously. All right, thank you. Now we move on to section 12 of our agenda, the officer reports, position items. And our first item is 12.1. This is the consultation options regarding citizenship or ceremonies and Australia Day events.
I guess just what we've alluded to earlier by Councillor Chair, whether we consider leave the meeting to bring forward item 12.2, given we probably would have minimal debate and that would enable the people to go for that. This item may take a significant amount of time, whereas I feel 12.2 would not.
All right, I'm happy to do that. I've got leave of the meeting. All right, thank you. So we'll just hold for a moment, everyone. We'll 12.1, we'll go to 12.2. And the reason for that is because there's obviously a lot more people interested in 1 and 2, so we're able to move people from 12.2 along with the ones. So are we moving? We've got some conflicts coming up now. Okay, so can you just remind us?
Yes, I have any. Sorry.
So we're going to Councillor Selwood, first of all.
Yeah, I have a general conflict of interest that I'm dealing with this matter in my work capacity, so I will be leaving the meeting.
This is 12.2?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I had also Councillor Munt.
Yeah, I also have a, thank you, Madam Mayor. I also have a general conflict of interest as I'm a member of an organisation called Save the Stirling Hospital, which was mentioned tonight. This organisation was specifically set up to lobby for assistance to Save the Hospital. There could be a perception that I am biased on this matter and do not bring an open mind. I will therefore leave the chamber and participate in the debate.
All right, thank you. I just had those first conflict of interest. Is there anyone else for this one? All right, thank you very much. Sorry, I can't find the Goldilocks temperature going on. So we're going to go on to item 12.2 on the agenda. This is with regard to Stirling Hospital, although we call a discretionary rank fee rebate. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn to one of our directors, Mr. David Waters, and ask him to introduce and explain this item. Thank you, Mr. Waters.
Thank you, Your Worship. Notwithstanding my usual portfolio responsibilities, I have been asked to oversee the review into this matter as someone not previously involved in the original decision. It has come back to council for review at the request of Stirling Hospital. The administration has undertaken a fresh review of the application against the provisions of the legislation that govern this matter. On that, the report essentially concludes this. The Stirling Hospital demonstrates that it meets criteria contained in the legislation and indeed in the council's policy around rate rebates. However, the legislation clearly describes that it is a discretionary matter. So, notwithstanding the fact that the hospital meets the criteria, the discretion is still entitled to the chamber as to whether it wishes to provide a rate rebate or not. So I just want to make that clear. But most importantly tonight, Your Worship and Council members, we did just consider how this is dealt with from a governance perspective this morning, given that Council has already made a decision to decline the rate rebate request once. Would any decision tonight to accept or provide a rebate effectively constitute a decision of Council's previous decision? The answer in short is yes, in our view. And that being the case, if someone in the chamber wished to move that a rebate be granted, that would need to actually be brought to the chamber as a motion or notice at a subsequent meeting, because our report that's been brought by the Chief Executive or by staff tonight has not actually made that recommendation. So if we had made that recommendation, it could have been dealt with that way tonight. But we haven't, so if the councilman wishes to move that way, it has to be done as a motion or notice, which could clearly, obviously, happen for the next meeting in 4 months' time. Okay?
Sorry, is that understood by everyone? Can I just make sure everyone understands that? Thank you, Councillor Chetty. You want to speak?
Yeah, I want to do something. Yes.
Thank you.
I'd like to move points 1 and 2 only.
All right, so this orders 1 and 2 is a garrison in your experience?
Yeah, through you, Worship. 1 and 2 is okay to move tonight, which provides members, if it gets up, provides members with an opportunity to move a motion on notice for the next council meeting to provide rebate or do whichever members see fit. We did also have alternative wording available if there was a motion to decline the rebate or to essentially reaffirm council's previous decision.
All right, so let's go to the members. Sorry, just one moment. Let's get to let's get our question first. We've got Councillor Chetty who's moving in, which I think is probably better we can hear from him, and that might then help the question. Okay, so thank you, Councillor Chetty.
Excuse me. Yeah, thank you, Worship. So in light of what Mr. Waters has presented tonight, I'm looking to move points 1 and 2, which then would include the opportunity to bring a motion on notice in support of a rebate for the Stirling Hospital, and I'm going to foreshadow that intention for the next meeting.
All right, so does that answer your question?
Well, partly I was wondering whether we'll be giving an invitation to the director what way the council might go. No decision, but might give an invitation.
No, I don't think so. Sorry. Sorry. Good try, but I'm sorry. No, I'm going to move to Councillor Hill. Are you looking to second?
Yes, you can. Thank you. I'm going to second that one.
Did you want to speak now, Fern?
No, we'll wait until the reception comes next.
That's a meeting. Okay, all right. So we've got a move from the seconder for points 1 and 2 of this item. Now I'm looking for, is anyone for any further debate on this item? All right, if not, Councillor Chetty, do you want a rather in mind? All right, otherwise, did you have a question? Okay, thank you. So all those in favour, please. All right, thank you very much. That's carried unanimously. So let's just explain to the hospital. I hope you fully understood what that meant, that 2 weeks' time we can have a motion on notice, and at that point we can make a decision one way or the other. Okay, thank you very much. Now, I appreciate you may want to leave, but don't take it personally. Thank you for staying as long as you have. Thank you. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're just waiting for Peter Belay. All right, thank you. So I'm now going to go back to 94.1. This is the consultation. Oh, yeah, I beg your pardon. Sorry, I asked Ms. Blake. Could you please ask our other two councillors to come back in now that we've finished the item? All right, thank you, councillors. All right, so now we're going to go on to item 12.1, our administration report. This is the 12.1 consultation options regarding citizenship or voice ceremonies in Australia Day events. So I'm looking for a mover for something. Okay. you have a question or you went into move something?
All right, if you'd like to move something,
thank you.
Yes, I'd like to move that the report be received and motion, so item one only.
Thank you, Judge. Do you have a question?
No, I'm going to see good.
Oh, thanks, Stephen. Okay, thank you. We'll get Councillor Cheetah to speak to it first, and then I'll continue, Councillor Gillam.
No worries.
Councillor Cheetah.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will keep this fairly short. I'm sure there'll be potentially some other perspectives on this. I do want to, sort of through you, also acknowledge the inputs of our community and the engagement on this issue. It is really important to be involved in all levels of government. Council is no exception, and I do have that true appreciation of the involvement. But at the core of why I'm moving this way. But at the core of it at this junction is I currently don't identify any option presented in the report that's fit for purpose or appropriate at this time. So I support my motion.
All right, so that's the mover. Seconder, would you like to speak?
Yes, through you, Mayor. To say that this topic has been strenuous in debate, I'd just actually like to say to the gallery, everyone in the gallery, thank you for your passion of bringing your close support to the board. We do appreciate it because it's your views that we need to be able to actually make decisions that actually are in the interest of the community. As most of you will know, I am a passionate advocate for making sure that we can solve with our community when we can and when our feel with that should happen, especially when it's something that could be an important to people as we stay. Unfortunately, for tonight, we are really bound to not be able to do too much, considering that any motion may be actually in rescission of previous motions, and so we'll have to work on our next steps forward. But I'd just like to support Councillor Sheeta's movement of the report we received and noted, and hope that we can actually move together in a respectful and democratic way and make sure that we do so with the sensitivity of the topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Look, I'll also take the opportunity just to explain to the gallery what that means, because we had a number of political motions without notice. And technically, they can't be they essentially included parts of rescission in them, which are not allowed to do straight from the floor. We have to do those as motions on notice. That is why we're at this point. And I'm sorry that's technically difficult for people to understand. But interestingly, both sides of the argument here tonight have also understood that. So I actually commend councillors for doing that. So, Councillor, you had.
I just had a question. I was going to ask you to clarify what is the next step from here. So, you're suggesting that an elected member put forward, bring forward a motion on notice?
Yes. So, if somebody wants to bring forward a motion on notice, that could or could not be a rescission one. What they can't do is bring it off the floor. Excellent. Because a lot of the aspects of what we were hearing essentially rescinding what you previously did. So what that means is that in 2 weeks' time, you can either decide to change your mind or you can decide to reaffirm the position that you've already made. So that is a choice for people to make, but we need to do it on notice. Okay? Yeah. Is that fair explanation? Okay. So, Councillor Daniel wanted to debate?
Question of clarification. Mm-hmm. So, around the rescission aspect, my understanding is the rescission is only if you were to rescind the previous decision. And this report is regarding consultation. So, whilst I understand there are a number of motions without notice, the reasons that they could not be accepted was because of its in relation to reversing a previous decision. So I just want to make that point clear that I won't debate the item, but I will just say that the rescission is only in relation if we were to reverse the previous decision. this entire report is about correct. Consultation.
Correct.
So, yeah, okay, I might debate that in a minute.
Thank you. So we had a mover and a seconder, and we had a question and a question, a clarification. So is there anybody else wishing to speak to start a debate on this item? All right, so Councillor Daniel.
I guess I'll just, because I couldn't express it earlier, I'll just make the point that by essentially receiving a note in the report and choosing not to act on the report which contemplates consultation, my read of that is it's the elected body choosing not to undergo consultation. Because a rescission motion is only in relation to who were to reverse the previous decision, which was not about a consultation, it was about our decision to shift the days. So I just sort of make that point. I think it's really important to understand that there's a differentiation that exists there.
Want to move something?
No, I'm just making that point.
All right, thank you, Councillor Hunster. Sorry, so you spoke. Councillor Hunster.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to offer a different opinion in that the report talks about, as it has been striped through up on the screen, that the timing and logistical challenges of conducting consultation, the way I read that, is that the way in which we could conduct consultation thoroughly would not do any favour, I guess, in time for January 2025. I think and have said from day one that consultation is the only way to understand what our community wants. I think consultation is absolutely the way forward for this, but I totally agree that to rush this through, we're now at the tail end of October, to rush it through and be able to have something in place by January 2025, if that were the case, I don't think does anything justice. I believe that we as an elected body need to be listening to both sides, all sides, however many sides there are of this topic, and we need to be the voices of the people that we are representing. Whether or not that is even through consultation, I'm not sure. That's not my, you know, what I think. But I think this current motion as it stands is to accept the report that we've received. It's not to say that consultation isn't the right pathway forward, but it's just not for right now. It's not in time for January 2025.
All right, thank you for that. Somebody else pushing to speak? Councillor Selwood?
I actually have a question for the administration, given that we've just had two different understandings of what this motion does from different councillors. I want to understand what the administration's understanding of the motion has put.
Well, that's just understand, just for everyone, that what's been put forward is just part one, correct? Thank you. So just, and I think Councillor Hutzler, as part of her debate, was using the original part two to be part of that. To express your opinion. Is that correct? You're not under the illusion that this is part of the motion.
Okay.
No, that's all right. Okay, I just want you to be clear on that. Your observation.
Yeah, my correct. Observation was that it is the different opinion to Councillor Daniel
yeah, okay.
of what this means. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Selwyn, you had a question?
Yes, my question is just what the administration's understanding of this motion is. Is it that this is the end of it, or is it that there's more consultation to be done in the future years?
For you, Mayor, the current wording of the resolution would leave Council's previous decision in place. It doesn't preclude a further motion about consultation at future time.
And it doesn't have to be 2 weeks, it can be later than that.
No, that's a follow-up question. Would it be the administration's view that any motion that, or any further consultation would then need to be a motion brought by a councillor rather than the administration?
Good question.
No, sorry, say that again.
So is it the administration's expectation that any further consultation would need to be a motion brought by a councillor as opposed to a motion brought a recommendation from the administration?
That's my understanding, but we'll ask as well.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you. Sorry, somebody, Councillor Munch had a question. Are you going to debate?
I'm going to move an amendment if I could. The amendment is to add a point two, which is, and to not conduct wider public consultation at this time. Point two.
I think my chairman, you've reversed every change to the meaning of the intent of what's here.
What's an amendment?
It's essentially any amendment.
No.
It's not an amendment.
You can bring that into a week, so.
That's very good. You can do that.
Well, depending on the outcome of this, you could do it now. I'm sorry, at the end of this debate.
Okay.
I just think it's too far away from the original intent. Okay, so anybody else want to speak in this part of the debate? So you've asked a question, I gave it to Grace, so thank you.
Thank you. I just want to talk about consultation because I feel like I'm unsure what I'm going to do with this motion at this point because I'm worried that it leaves us open to more consultation and I have concerns. So there are many forms of consultation. We have public forums at our meeting. We've heard from 8 to 9 residents tonight. We have deputations. We have one-on-one conversations with residents. We have community forums like the one we held on Saturday. And we've heard from our community through all of these mechanisms. And I think it's really safe to say that there are differing views in our community. So if the community isn't united on an issue, we need to think of what other measures we're going to use to work out whether we need to make a decision. So regarding consultation, will it cause harm? The report states that the members of the Reconciliation Working Group considered this. They said to us that any consultation should include Aboriginal lawyers while strongly expressing their concerns that further community consultation could provide a platform for discrimination and community division and cause harm to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Ultimately, they considered that to undertake further community consultation would be contrary to Council's commitment to reconciliation and may endanger the reconciliation process and the future of reconciliation working group. We did hear from David Briggs and Courtney Hunter-Hubman tonight, and they called for unity. So the next question is, will consultation lead to unity? I don't think consultation would lead to unity. I think we know that there are different views in our community. Will it support our reconciliation journey? The reason I moved the initial motion that consisted of 26th of January was in solidarity with First Nations people. I'm not a First Nations person, and I do recognise my privilege of being able to sit here and contribute to this debate. As an ally, I have a responsibility to listen, to understand, to learn, and to take action. The first protest against Australia Day was in 1938. 86 years later, I need to hear the message. We heard from public tonight that they said we need to learn from history and move and improve moving forward, and I agree. Many people believe and have been told that we cancelled Australia Day, but we only chose not to support events held on the 26th of January. So I don't support further consultation, and I will consider the debate when my decision is made.
Thank you. Anybody else wanting to speak in the debate? Thank you, Councillor Osters.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A question of the administration. If the original motion was passed by the council, 1 and 2, would the administration, and I go back to the original motion that gave rise to this report back on the 13th of August 2024, and I quote, that the CEO provides a report to council by the end of October, identifying options, including ways to canvass the views of residents and ratepayers, etc. It doesn't specify any time. or which Australia Day. My question is, in light of that resolution, if the original motion was passed by this council, including point two, would that leave the administration open to bring back a further report to council in satisfaction of the original motion dated the 13th of August 2024?
Now, who wants to answer that? Mr. CEO or governors?
I have a view.
Just allow me to confer a moment, please.
Freely there, the intention of administration is would be not to bring another report back, but our view is that we've met the original resolution. If members brought a motion directing us to bring another report back, we could do so.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Tilley.
A question of clarification around the original recommendation at this time. Can somebody define them?
Okay, thank you.
All right, does anybody else have anything to add? Otherwise, I'm going to go back to councillor. You have a question? Or?
Yeah. About consultation.
Sorry, there's a question.
About consultation. We heard the speakers here tonight, and I was trying to find some middle ground. They're generally trying to try to find some middle ground. It's the citizenship and the civic awards. As I said earlier, I can understand the issue about citizenships. I feel very strongly about the civic awards. I was hoping to hear one side said that they could accept giving round to have just the civic awards on Australia Day. The other, the people that opposed that would not give that. Now, it seems to me that in any, and we've all been in workplaces, et cetera, et cetera, and in still opposing views, you try to find some middle ground. And I was really hoping tonight that I could hear that, and maybe that still can come.
But I was going to say that could still come.
Yes, but I'm not sure how we achieve that. So,
we achieve it through new motions.
Yes, but try and bring that together. But the, I won't say factions, but I'm not sure just how the council can bring the opposing parties together to get some sort of consensus that we want two winners. We don't want two losers or one loser. We don't want that. The community doesn't want that. No one wants it. So I'm still up to see some. And then there's consultation with bringing the different groups together, lock them in a room, throw out ideas so they can come up with something that's working.
Well, I don't. We'll leave it at that. It set your pace. Now, did you have a question?
Yes, I did, Madam Mayor. A further question. It's following on from my previous question, and with all due respect, Dr. McGill. I go back to the original motion that's been amended. In light of Council's decision of the 13th of August, that is in the report, and this report and this recommendation, the original recommendation, where did January 2025 come from?
I think we'll pass this to the CEO as the head of administration.
I guess just to explain the report as it is, it is just to reiterate so everyone's on the same page. This report is about conducting consultation.
Correct.
What administration is, of course, there's options around consultation. We assumed that, you know, it was strong, that it was an assumption, I'm absolutely right, that it was about, it was predicated on some changes, if any, by January 2025, for the next Australian Act. But this report, even though we talk about being responsible around making sure that we do undertake a proper, purposeful consultation, it does not preclude the council to make a decision, whether it's a decision not to undertake consultation or choose one of the options and nominate that consultation can happen next February or sometime next year. So it's really about if we want to engage in purposeful, meaningful consultation and say that it's probably not the right time now because of the logistics and the constraints.
I accept that. I accept.
So it's a sort of a question.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I accept that that answer. However, my previous question was, if the original motion got up.
So what do you mean by the original motion?
The original recommendation.
The one and two.
Correct. Would that preclude the administration bringing back a further report at some stage on this very issue about consultation? Because the substance of that motion is to not conduct any consultation at this time. If the council resolves that way and accepts that, in light of the previous resolution of the 13th of August, I see nothing wrong with the administration bringing back a further report at some other time, because January 25 was not specified in the original motion. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
It's only precluding us, our intent is not to do so, and then we're directly to.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Ross. So if anybody else wishes to speak, Councillor Boyle.
Yes, through you, Mayor. I'm just going to mention one of the things regarding consultation. I wanted to read an excerpt of Jason Downs' letter from the Chief Executive Officer of Reconciliation SA. And he notes that the arrival of colonisation marks the beginning of the demise of Aboriginal culture, massacres, stolen death generations and trauma. But to host citizenship ceremonies and celebratory events on this day is at odds with reconciliation. He goes to mention that community consultation needs to be done very carefully to minimise trauma and community division. Also, in the petition broadcast by Dylan Russell to Martin Summertown, he mentioned two things that really struck me, and that was, regrettably, the voice referendum ignited a culture of disrespect and intolerance for urban nations people in Australia, and there has been an increased racism targeted at First Nations people by those interpreting the referendum result as a rejection of First Nations people. Finally, from the report, the background information in our agenda item 12.1, it was stated that at a meeting on the 3rd of October 2024, the Allied Hills Reconciliation Working Group discussed the August resolution requesting more consultation options, and members of the group considered that any consultation should include Aboriginal voice while strongly expressing their concerns that further community consultation could provide a platform for discrimination and community division and cause harm to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And as Councillor Selwood mentioned earlier, they did go on to say that ultimately they considered that to undertake further community consultation would be contrary to Council's commitment to reconciliation and may endanger the reconciliation process and the future of the Reconciliation Working Group itself. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And thanks. I realise that gentleman approached me here, so I'd say that as well. So is there anyone who's not spoken who might? Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to address the issue of the wide public consultation.
As council's elected member representative on the Adelaide Hills Reconciliation Working Group, I have actually consulted a number of members of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community living in Adelaide Hills, and I was also present in that discussion that we have had on the issue of wider public consultation. And it was made very clear to me from the Aboriginal members of that group in particular that a decision to go out for wider public consultation or to reverse our decision would be a serious setback for the reconciliation process for this council. And I do note celebration that just today we found out that we got provisional endorsement of our Innovate Reconciliation Action Plan, which is a more advanced action plan. And so we have actually made quite significant progress along the path for reconciliation. And I think wider public consultation would be a setback to that, and that was made very clear to me. My concern is even that if we were to go down a particular path, which puts Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander members of our community at risk from things like psychosocial abuse, that they would potentially resign from our reconciliation group en masse. So that is a concern to me. One of the things I did do was, you mentioned this, I did consult a number of members of the community, and they did indicate that since the beginning of the petition campaign to try and get us to overturn this decision, there has been a significant number of regretful, disrespectful and racist, you can only call it that, racist incidents that have been directly associated with that. One Aboriginal person I spoke to reports of being followed around a supermarket and harassed after an article on the petition and the debate appeared in the paper. Another report, an incident of being asked to sign the petition in a shop and after refusing and state that they had Aboriginal heritage, being berated because of their view. And I've also heard a story, I didn't hear this firsthand, of an Aboriginal person who encountered people soliciting signatures for the petition to overturn, who had their Aboriginal heritage questioned, presumably because they weren't black enough. So this has caused a lot of angst already, and I can't see that wide public consultation is going to improve that, and I actually think it would probably cause more harm to that member of the community. We know the community's divided. We've had petitions, two different petitions, multiple petitions. The community is divided on this issue. There's nothing to be gained from wider public consultation, and there's a lot to lose, and particularly for a minority group who it's about 0.5, 0.6% of the population of our council district who are never going to have their voice heard in a wide public consultation where it's just a poll of everyone in the council. So I think it's nothing that we shouldn't do at this time on this particular issue. It's not that I'm against public consultation, but because of the risks and the information I think it's something we should do.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your opinion. I'm just going to go as well. Mm-hmm. Anybody else wishing to say anything who hasn't spoken?
I'll speak again.
No, sorry, Emma. Nice try, but no. All right, so I'm now going to go back to the mover. Would you like to say anything in your mind at this point?
Yeah, I will. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will reiterate, I guess. No, sorry, I'll go back. So, as I highlighted, I did expect a variety of different perspectives in the debate. There was not particular clarity on being for or against, I guess, the motion that I've put up. There was a lot of, I guess, conversation around the idea of consultation that isn't on the table at the moment. Absolutely right. It is the prerogative of elected members to bring motions on notice in relation to this. There is no denying that it's a reality. But from my perspective and my position, and I'll reiterate it again, I guess clarity is that we're deemed important to be perceived. I do not identify a consultation option that is fit for purpose or appropriate. So I'm in support of the motion to receive and open the report.
All right, so thank you, councillors. I'm now going to put that to the vote. So just to be absolutely clear that what we are resolving here is just point one, the what's in front of you. Council resolves that the current reports as supplied be received and noted. So all those in favour of that. Okay, that motion is carried. Thank you. No, it's carried. Thank you. Now, let me explain a bit to the audience where we go from here. First of all, I'm going to thank you all and acknowledge the effort that has gone into your representations tonight. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of passion out there on the different sides of the argument. I did hear mention of the word of one of our councillors about compromise that was heard from one side. But I did also hear from, if you like, the other side said that they were willing to come together. They didn't want to be behind, they didn't want to be behind, but they wanted to be alongside. So I think that does mean that both sides have respected each other's point of view, even though they may not agree with it. And for that, I'm extremely grateful you taking that really respectful approach. Where we go from here is that we've received and noted this report that's come to us, and what has been resolved is that we can, in due course, there's no specific time on it, we can, in due course, resolve whether to go back on what we have previously decided, which some councils have done, or we can actually reinforce what we have already said. That is up to us as a council, and you're right, as your representatives. Now, there's been a lot of discussion also said about consultation, the value of consultation, and how thorough it can be. And as I believe Councillor Chief of the Mover said, he did not see a good option in front of him. The only option that would get everyone's point of view would be a compulsory plebiscite. So we, as a level of government, don't have the opportunity to do that. That is a federal government prerogative. It's not within our powers to even do that. So if this comes up again, you are more than welcome to come back with the passion that you have tonight and make comments again. And if we have another angle to look at it, you can make your points of view about that as well. And I thank you for your respect tonight, and I understand that you may not want to stay for the rest of what's on the agenda, because there's still a good power, so to go. So I thank you for that, and I'm actually going to ask Council, would you like to have a break now so we can allow him to leave? Are we happy with that? Just leave with the meeting, please. So what we'll do is I'll give us a 10-minute break to allow people to quietly go on their stage, and we can learn further things about this. And I know this continues the conversation all may or may not. It wasn't my suggestion. It's not been anything that's been endorsed by me. This has come from you, and we've handled that more very well. So I just want to thank you for that this evening. And I think it was extremely good for us. We recorded that. Both sides of the debate actually moved in second of this. I think that was a really consideratory thing to do. So I want to thank the second of the. Okay, that's it. 12.3. Greater Adelaide Regional Plan. Let's see. Now, let me just think. No. I think it was just in terms of. I'm just going to get to. Ms. Charlton, please, you were going to have a little explanatory note to this.
Through you, Your Worship, I did have a question about environment food production areas on the draft plan, so that's probably one of the minutes. An action of the draft regional plan will be to prepare a schedule of areas to be considered for removal and also those retained in the EFPA during future reviews by the State Planning Commission. To ensure a 15-year long supply of land to accommodate housing and public growth, and that will be included in the first update to the plan. And I would assume there'll be an opportunity for us to provide input when that action is undertaken by the Commission.
All right, did you, Councillor, have a better question?
I was going to move it, Madam.
Cool. What do you want to
know? As printed, thank you.
So we've just been with Councillor Stoll. Can we finish it now?
No, thank you.
No? Okay, let's see. Without that, you have a second.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I won't speak long because the lateness of the app. But yeah, this is a very important document and it's really important we get it right. It's important we have our view on this document. I haven't had an opportunity to review it totally myself, but I think it is really important. So,
Okay, thank you. Anybody else wanting to debate the item? Sorry, that's way shorter than I was expecting. We're not used to it. No, no. So, is anybody wanting to speak in the item? All right, so let's go back to our
meeting. Madam Mayor, I'll close for my full 5 minutes, if I may. No, nothing to add. Nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
So let's go on over to the plate. All those in favour of the federal election item, thank you, that's carried unanimously. All right, now 12.4, this is the land management plan, which is our, or was a consultation with Johnson Memorial.
Do you want to read it? It's an interest in item 12.4, the community land management plan at Memorial Park, from the president of the CFS, and the Bell Tennis CFS occupies a portion of Johnson Park. I will bring an open mind to the meeting. My membership will not be important. I'll see it in the meeting, mate.
She will remain in front. Now, let me just go to one of our directors. I don't have a name by this, but this is your assistance. Okay, we've got more questions. That's it. So, let me just go to the director first. If we go around. Mr. Waters, is there anything you wanted to have a highlight and that may answer questions?
Sorry,
I
can't
think of something. Absolutely, Your Worship. There's something very, very critical indeed. In the report, there was a typo. It was brought to my attention today when we suggested the area for land concern was 4,000 and something hectares. It's actually 4 point whatever it was hectares, so it's not 4,000, it's like 4 hectares.
So just in case we're worried about the extension of the So you have a question, Councillor Taylor. Somebody else?
Yeah, just a question. Sorry, I didn't have time to think it through, but I know talked about going out to public consultation, but I was just wondering if we know any of the preliminary reviews of the stakeholders of the park.
For you, Your Worship, I don't personally, however, what I would say is that what we're attempting to do here is reflect exactly what is happening on the park now in the proposed new plan. But of course, this is seeking council's endorsement to go out and do that public consultation. So I wouldn't expect there to be any concerns with this, given that we're just looking to reflect the way it's been used at present, including the CFS and including the large camping site, which is run by one of the local clubs there. So I wouldn't expect any big grounds for that.
All right, can I have a follow up? Sorry, just a follow up. And have the stakeholders been notified before this report's been brought to council?
Through you, Worship, I'm not personally aware if they've been notified, no.
Okay, so let's try and see if we can get a member first of all for something. Okay, so Councillor Harman has written. Do you want to speak to your item, James?
Not now, but I'll move on.
Not a new group, we act on that. Sorry, I have answered that. I'm now being talked to from.
I'll be then advised that if we move or second, we must speak at the time to buy up and give the second, so I'll reserve my right.
So just move a little. So bring you there, the move and must speak when they move it, and second, they can reserve their right to speak later.
Then I can have a right on the fire.
You have a right.
I'll reserve my right on the fire.
Is that a bit of advice across the room?
Well, that's exactly right. All our lands have community plan management plans over them. Some of them are generic. This one has multiple uses on it. So it makes sense to have a look at it and get the management plan correct. In particular, the lease of the CFS is expiring this month, I think it's called over. Ms. Lord, it's expiring this month, so it's the appropriate time that we do review the community management plan for it.
Yeah, I'm happy to second it. And I'll speak just briefly if that's okay. I'm sure the administration would do this, but we've just sort of found with some community halls lately that sometimes the communication hasn't happened at that early stage. So I would hope that the administration would speak to the stakeholders before this goes public, so that they at least have some warning that it's coming. So that we're not just surprising them. I think it's really important that our stakeholders are given that prior warning. But I think it's got motion.
So I think CEO statement will be a board with you. So who's just sort of the other council chief?
I'm really sorry, but I've neglected to do my conflict of interest on this particular one for similar reasons to Councillor Turner. Can I ask a question of the governance? Yes. I apologise, because I know we've covered this ground before, but I've gone back to your email, and they're talking about the impact of on the agency and being a member. It talks about I've been deemed to both have a general and material conflict of interest. Does that line with your recollection on that particular?
Through you, Deputy Mayor, will not and cannot provide advice on either of us on the spot about conflict of interest, but what I will make an observation about is that the content of this resolution will not have an impact on the CFS at the stage, but the changes are concerns for the CFS. In relation to if you did have conflict of interest in relation to the CFS, it is automatically a general and a material conflict.
Thank you. So that won't be interesting.
Say again?
I won't declare one.
Well, I think it's right to make it in sugar. Okay, thank you. So now let's go around this movement sector. So everybody else pushing to the vote, you know. If not, we will go back to our mover, please.
I don't think there's anything I need to reply to.
All right. Okay, thank you. So we go to the vote, please. All of those in favour of this item? Thank you. That's very generous. Now, we go on to item 12.4. We need to elect two people. Sorry, 12.5. We need to elect two people for the Eastern Region. Gary, now, I'll just remind people. Some years ago, when we moved away from something called MLGG, which was an involvement of government work group, we moved into what we call now called GARRAC, or GAROC, or some good. And it's, for voting purposes, it is split into, or was split into four groups, North, East, South, West. And the idea is that each group had representation, so you didn't always end up with one group remaining over another. It's a very strange setup in that some of those groupings have far more people on them than the others. That is something they're struggling with at the moment. One of the things they also need to let you know is that they have recently discussed whether or not they wanted to have all mayors on the board, and they didn't make a decision to do that. They then rescinded them. Okay, so I just need to let you know that it's not necessarily all mayors. However, I believe that in rescinding that, or in subsequent conversations, two of the people who voted to only have mayors on it were in fact the two councillors who had come to the office. So it is a very strange situation. So out of these four, you have to choose two. So I don't know if anyone's got something they would like to move.
I would like to move that we insert move as printed and insert Mayor Michael Hewitson, City of Unley, and Mayor Monson.
All right, thank you. Did you want to
talk
to that
anymore? Look, I did have a read through all of the CVs, and I can't say that anyone particularly stood out to me, but I guess I just thought that Councillor Jason Nilsson, while he's probably a nice guy and everything, he is a first term councillor for the City of Prospect, so we'll probably need someone a bit more senior and more experienced than that. We also have a candidate for the Canberra City Council. I want to know more about that. I think Mayor Michael Hewitson, I've heard him speak on the radio a number of times, and he's spoken very eloquently. And the Mayor of Burnside, I believe. Sounds good stuff.
That's very passionate about trade.
Oh, yeah, good. Let's see.
All right, so that's your problem over. You have a second. Thank you, Councillor Chair.
Did
you want to speak?
I think Lee has spoken very well, Chair.
Sorry, I've moved in a second. Anybody else want to talk in the No, in that case, sure, you need a lot of reply there. All right, so let's have a show of hands, please. All those in favour? Okay, so that's carried. Thank you. All right, now we're on to item 12.6. Mr. Lewis, did you want to introduce it? So I can go to know if there is anything that you need to highlight or any new information that's come covered as from the audit that you made in last month.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. Just to bring to everyone's attention that they received the audit committee meetings minutes earlier today. And that included resolutions relating to financial statements. They weren't available to bring the agenda because the committee meeting considered it also last night. But there was no, they recommended the adoption of the statements.
Okay, So can I just ask, what are they complimentary or not? Now, I'm not sure that everyone would have thought that in time today. Is there anything? Has everyone read it? I'm sorry, it might happen. Has anyone else read all those things? Do you want to briefly say what the email said, please?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to bring this? Judges, I can read the resolution. So it's the Audit Committee 43-24. Yeah. The Audit Committee resolves that having reviewed financial statements for 23-24 as per appendix 1, that the financial statements present fairly the financial position of our Lakeville's Council. It's appropriate that the management representation letter requested by the external auditor as appendix 2 is signed by management, but it makes a certification of the auditor independence as per appendix 3 is considered by the chief executive and presiding member of the Audit Committee. That it, and more importantly, number 4, that it authorizes the chief executive officer and mayor to certify financial statements for 2023-24 in the final form. And that's the normal resolution we get from the Audit Committee every year. Yeah, and so there were no changes between that report and the one in the resolution. That being a couple of typos corrected overnight in the copy of this group.
And I think you said it, but just to clarify, that's the same as happened in the library
it's the same resolution and the same process.
Okay. So we're looking for a moment. Is Councillor Hammond, did you want to talk?
Yeah, I don't say briefly, but I want to talk to you. You spent a lot of time on these reports in view of the issues regarding the transferring from a projected surplus to a deficit. We had our auditor in attendance and we did meet with the auditor as a group with the staff there and also independently in Oxford. In terms of the statements that you have, I'll just run through a few salient features and I suggest members perhaps the numbers are important, but you look at the supporting notes to the account at the back. They have much more information in them. So if I just briefly run through, salient points. And if you'd like to look at page 154, I'll read out the numbers and then you can see what I'm talking about. Page 154, that lists the operating surplus and adjusted operating surplus, net funding, abilities ratio, and asset renewal funding. Two to get a big red cross are the operating surplus and the adjusted operating surplus. There'd be no reasons why for that.
Sorry, can I just interrupt you? The page number you gave, what's the note number?
It's in the report. No, it's in. If you go to the report, the page number is the. The operating surface was two crosses, not three. Adjusted operating surface is a bit better, but still we do have a structural issue to address.
Yeah.
Page 167. Page 167 sets out the table of the financial assistance grant that we get. And the table is self-explanatory, but in 2023-24, so you got an allocation of $2.5 million and actually received $2.5 million and received only $95,000. But that will sort itself out in due course. Page 174. Page 175 is an interesting page. That sets out the detail of employee costs. But in particular, if you go down the page a little bit, I'd say, page 175, 175, down the page, just some interest there, energy costs, 581,000 to 678, so energy costs are rising, despite our program of getting solar panels and reduced LED lights, things like that, the price of energy is going up as well, it's about a 70% increase. Legal costs have gone from 354 last year, or previous year, to 500, so $500,000. And waste has gone from 4.8 million to 5.1 million dollars.
Sorry, so can I ask a question? And I'm sorry for this kind of question. How come less staff costs more money?
How come that?
Less staff costs more money.
Salaries.
It's a question for the administration, isn't it?
Oh, well, so the I'll hold the question.
Yeah.
I'll
That's probably a carry one. Page 176. Elected members' expenses.
You got 30 seconds.
Elected members' expenses went from 351 to 408. Now, the audit committee asked for the details of that. The manager has provided that, which I can share with the board. Manager will share the breakdown of that 408,000 people. So, because you might, someone might get a question about the cost of $400,000. Well, perhaps I want to go through the number, but I actually read the outstanding rates, 1.6 million previous year, 1.6, one, yeah, and dropped a little bit. So that's a good sign.
Sorry, finish up. Oh,
finish it up. Yeah, yeah, ask you, in the body of the report from the auditors, internal controls are fine, and the auditor will issue an unqualified opinion or proposal to issue an unqualified opinion. Quite some issues that we've had, depreciation works and targets for capitalisation, it's only okay. But I did have a motion passed, and will be in the minute and read it, that the committee's asked for the preparation. Initiates the preparation of a long-term financial plan as soon as practical. The first workshop being held before the 31st of December. And the audit risk committee be provided with a report by the 18th of November, setting out advice for the council, so we'll advise the council on the formulation of financial indicators and strategic considerations for achieving financial stability. The point the auditor made, the point was that we don't have to get into the target for the operating surplus, don't have to get back into the 1.5 or whatever target in 1 year. It takes some time, providing you do set out an actual date. Thank you for your patience.
Well, I apologize for being involved for Brooks being better councillor Allen, but there's only one last one. Okay, you've made a case. Do you have a seconder? I thought they were going to be really cool and do that. Councillor Hudson is a seconder. Do you need to talk? Thank you. And welcome in 7 minutes. All right, so everyone, somebody wanted to talk there. Thank you. Councillor Martin and Councillor Cheever.
No, sorry.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to point out something which is very much associated with this and that's another motion that Council put up at the committee last night. It is in the units. And it's essentially says that the Audit and Risk Committee requests that, one, the CEO initiates the preparation of the long-term financial plan as soon as practicable, with the first workshop being prior to 31st of December 2024. Two, that a report be presented to the Audit Committee at its meeting on the 18th of November 2024, setting out advice for Council to, A, the formulation of the financial indicators, and this is probably what I consider the sort of a crux of the motion, B, strategic considerations
for achieving financial viability. We're obviously in a pickle. We've discovered that we've got a structural deficit, and we need to do something to fix it. So I see this motion, and it's appropriately coming through the audit committee, because you know, that's where it should come from, basically. And in fact, I think the auditor general is looking to the audit committee to provide that sort of recommendation and to supervise that whole sort of process. And I think the minister is as well, certainly the sense I got from reading his correspondence. So I think this is a really good thing. I look forward to seeing the outcomes of that report.
I think I'll then a question can I ask to Mr. Lewis, a structural deficit. Can I just make sure I've got the understanding that that is a systemic issue and not $5 million worth of cash that we hold and we've got a point?
I think probably the idea of a structural deficit is with the current levels of service and level of rates, we would expect to be turning the deficit in certain the next 4 months. So we have an ongoing deficit effect.
Thank you. I think that's important. Thank you very much. So, Councillor Mumps, you can answer. Councillor Chu, are you going to talk? No. Councillor Sewell, thank you.
Yeah, just very briefly, because I think it's been quite well covered by Councillor Herman. I just want to talk briefly about the positivity from the external auditor last night. As Councillor Herman said, we did get an opportunity to talk to her without staff present. And she was very commendable to the staff and the processes they've taken to address the issues that we have. So it was very reassuring to hear from her. And there are some recommendations that she's made, but I think it was fair to say that the audit committee felt like they're being addressed. So I just think that's really important for council to know that the external auditor was very positive, both with the staff and without.
All right, thank you. So we've got a mover and a seconder, and we've debated. Anybody else wanting to debate?
I'll do
my
I'd rather reply.
I think actually mine cut most of that.
Just advise to members that CEO agreed to invite the independent to come to a relevant workshop in Shubanity Hill, and was one at the 2nd of December. Yeah, one important one about the structure, etc. will be canceled, but I then CEO will invite them to attend that. We'll help them understand the complete picture.
All right, thank you very much for that. So can we now put it to the vote? All those in favour of this item? All right, thank you very much, everyone. That counts as unanimous. Okay, so moving on, admin reports. We have no information items. We have one piece of correspondence for noting. Did anyone have an issue with that? We're still looking for a second seconder, please.
Thank you, Councillor Lodge. Moving, Councillor Hudson seconding. I'm going to go straight to all those in favour, please. Questions without notice, please. Anyone? I'll give a chance. I might have one to CEO, Howard. I do have one director about Valhanna Stormwater. Any progress being made with DIP?
We take that to the airlines board.
Yeah, it's 2 minutes, not that one. So, has there been progress made?
There is some, through you, sure, there is some follow up requirements that we checked again today as to whether Austin will be soon receiving a letter from the state government around their contribution towards the project. And we were told that it was still imminent. Anyway, I have it on good authority that the CEO will be following that up directly with the CEO of BID.
Thank you for putting that, because winter is only about 7 months long.
And Councillor Brown?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. My question is for Mr. Waters as well. I received word, correct me if I'm wrong, from Friends of Woorabinda that there was consideration for allowing a wildlife rescue group to set up at Warragamba Reserve. Is that, do you know anything about that?
Just sorry, you said that a wildlife what group?
Rescue.
Oh, right.
Group. I think it's the books reported that friends of Will work in there. Could you comment?
Anyone from you?
Through you, Your Worship. There is a group that I think they addressed council on one occasion. I'm not quite sure. South Sophie, yeah. It's like a weird fire. And they indicated that they were looking for at some point to establish a site that they could use as a, I guess, a bit of a halfway house, what they call a finishing school, which is when possums or birds have been taken to care because they've been perhaps hit by a vehicle on a road or whatnot. So wildlife rescue, they're taken to the carer's care, but as they transition back towards being released to the wild, they need to go, I guess, out of a person's home where they're intensively cared for into a facility where it's a bit more like an aviary type environment. So that group has been in the council's support through the provision of the site where they have set up such a facility. They had nominated Warragamba as a potential location. We have effectively ruled it out due to the proximity of people living around there and following consultation with the friends of Warragamba Bushland Reserves. There are some other sites that they are interested in as well. And we are, and our property services team is working with them to, as we develop groups, to request sites from council to set up community facilities to find out whether there might be something viable. And if so, we look to put something to the chamber for a decision to be made. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Look, we're actually getting close to 10 o'clock now, so I'm going to ask if we can get an extension to 10:30 to finish this. Okay, so other questions on that? We'll get it on paper the next time. Anybody else have something crucial they need to say? Actually, I will remember one thing, and that is that Councillor Kent's funeral was this Friday, and thank you for those who asked me about that, and I hope you've got all the details you need. Councillor Kent.
Just on that, I'd also like to announce that Lockie Atkinson from Houghton passed away on Friday night. Lockie was a veteran. He was very active in the community of Parapone and Houghton, and very instrumental in their memorial service and their memorial work. So I'm sure that one is feeling a little bit alone at the moment. He was a big man, he was a big personality, and he's also a very quiet man and very respectful. And I'm sure he'll be missed for next year's, and that day.
Yeah, lots of people did. We had a really good time. Thank you very much for those of you who attended. Sorry I didn't say earlier, but it was a really not so joyous occasion like being in the West High. Anybody else on anything else? I've got to hold you back here. So I'd like to put anyone else on a third party first. Okay. Right, see ya. Thank you.
Look, very much. I've just provided an update around our Glen Hills War Memorial Swimming Centre. It has been awarded to Water Features by Design. And just to remind the conveners, that was about a $750,000 project. So we'd like to report. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Sia. Anyone got any questions for Sia? Thank you.
Question mastered by the audit committee. We were introduced to the new finance manager about that. Do you know who he is?
No,
actually, CEO mentioned
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, we've got our new finance manager, Bruce Smith. He's in name to remember. And also, we've got our new, I think I mentioned it last time, manager of people and culture, Roger Hunt. And we have two new officers in government as well.
All right, okay, thank you. Answer your question, yeah? All right, so that's the end of the CEO's report. We go on to committees. We do need to accept the minutes of the cabinet meeting, which have been circulated. Going to be a mover. Thank you. Thanks so much. Councillor Daniel seconded. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried unanimously. Nothing for audit committee, nothing for CEO. Oh, they have put them there, haven't they? Sorry, yes. The only thing is, people are not talking about it, but they don't want to be spoiled. I'm looking at the members of the audit commission. Okay, CEO Prince Review Panel, I assume it makes us new. Okay, Boundary Change Committee, I assume, yeah, no. Okay, we've got no confidential items. Next meeting, please say, it's really sorry, because we've got 8 minutes now. Tuesday, the 12th of November, 6:30 here at Mount Barker, so I will close the meeting at 9:52. Thank you, everyone. Well done.
Yeah, but there was a bit.